Yeah, yeah, school, yeah, yeah. I'm right back at it with my brother Jay Dutch. Fresh new track for the family, what the fuck? My man Big Bear, but we call him old school. About to get up on the mic and straight up act school. Ain't no fiction here, cause we only talking facts. If he's talking about the bucks, he don't cut him no slack. No need to waste time, and let's get right to it. What the fuck, podcast ain't nothing to it but to do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. About to turn it over to my man Old School with the What the Fuck podcast. Check it, yo. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Fuck. It's What the Fuck. Yeah. It's What the Fuck. Yeah. It's What the Fuck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Fuck.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are back here in Studio 76 with Old School from whatthebuck.net, and I'm actually ecstatic. I have a full studio once again, or not really a full studio. I've actually had more people in here for Lost or Profound, but that was a very strange show. It was a little bit weird. Things got crazy. We did 3.5 hours of a podcast. We chopped into two different shows, but it was a lot of fun. But tonight, for you Bucks fans out there, it is, I think, a treat for you guys. We've got not only Mark Cook of PewterReport.com fame. We have the return of the former champion, Chris Fisher, here from Bucks pre-podcast frame. And he would probably say hello, but Mark would interrupt him. I think the tweet of the night so far was B. Shook with the comment when Chris said he was on the way over. He was afraid Mark was going to cut him off in traffic. And then later on at 9:45, Corey Long, in this particular regard of AP fame, he's covering the Raiders for AP this week. So we're going to have him call in about 9:45 and give us some voice from the other side. So welcome to the show. We will do our best. I'll do my best. I will endeavor to not have our levels suck ass like they did last time after the Skype call. But, you know, I'm not going to guarantee anything. So welcome to the show. Let me get some housekeeping out of the way. What's this install flash info bar I'm getting? I don't know, Ren. We're going to talk about football. You're going to have to Google. I'm not sure what you're having over there on your computer. But I want to thank all of our supporters, man. Bill Curry Ford, as always. In fact, this week, our grill master, Pat, is going to be out. He's out of commission this week. And so we've had to scramble with the only Hall of Fame. Really?
Yeah.
With the only Hall of Fame tailgate in Tampa. But don't do that again, you redneck. Jesus Christ, man. You invite this guy over. He comes in with
these. He invites me over.
These sandals.
I've been over here for, you know,
these
the
sandals
last
from
six
1973,
months every Thursday night.
And he starts whistling through a bottle cap. Drinking water out of a... I'm going to mute his fucking mic.
Do it. He can't cut me off
I'll
of you.
I'll gladly get back
good
in
Lord.
The car.
Yeah, I'm 10
minutes
trek,
away.
And trek for 3 hours home? Anyway,
not that far.
Big thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Not only are they our tailgate sponsor, our platinum sponsor, but they also showed up and got us a new grill that we can use for the tailgate this week. And it's going to be phenomenal. We're very excited. The Raiders are traveling very well. A lot of them came out here for the Jacksonville game and stayed over like the team. So, and I know this will come up at some point in the conversation this evening as well. With the fan discussion that apparently dominated Dirt Cutter's press conference and is dominating the airwaves. We'll have a conversation about that because there's going to be a lot of black uniforms out there. They're going to try and black out Raymond James Stadium. And it's the same thing we try to do to other people when we travel. I mean, I saw the Buckaholics with their orange shirts show up on TV, and that certainly pissed off, I'm sure, some San Francisco fans. So we'll have to keep that in mind. Big shout out to Steakhouse Elite out of Oregon. They're amazing. Tito's Vodka, which we'll probably be enjoying a little bit later. Though, I don't know, Mark actually came through and brought the cider from Two Henrys, so we may have to start out with that.
You knew I was coming over.
Exactly. And, of course, Pepin Distributing with our Bud Light cans, Team Cans, thanks to all the things they do. And, in fact, this week, the first 200 people to our tailgate will be receiving a Buccaneer Rally Towel, co-branded Bucks, What the Buck, and Bud Light. So make sure you get out there early and get your Rally Towel. I'd love to say we had 60-something thousand of them we could give out to everyone, but we don't, but we're going to give out as many as we're able to get these guys to produce, and hopefully we'll see them at the stadium. So welcome to the studio, guys. You know, I've already made fun of Mark, but that's out of love. Happy birthday, Mark. I don't know when exactly your birthday was. A couple days ago, you turned, what, 31, 32?
I don't remember.
Well, it's also a very high number for a Plant City guy, but let's just assume it's somewhere in the 30s, and happy birthday. It's good to have you for another year here with us.
Well, if you say so. I'm not a big
he's
fan.
He's down tonight.
Eeyore is in the house, ladies
depressed.
And gentlemen.
Listen, man.
Is it because of the fan story you wrote that doesn't have any comments yet? It will get comments. Believe me, the fans will respond to this
matter.
Because no one cares. Oh, my God.
I'm going to go home.
You want me to go leave a comment right now?
I'm going
to Hey, you listeners, start. Get out to PewterReport.com and leave comments on Mark's story.
No, you don't have to do that.
No,
I just
do
like some of the other sites where I create fake accounts to comment on my own stories. I won't mention them by name.
All right. Fair enough. There are some people in our chat room that are watching the Jags game. I've heard that their uniforms may be the ones uglier than ours in this Color Rush debacle.
What's wrong with red on red?
It's not hideous. Ugly. It looks like a big bottle of ketchup.
As you're wearing red tonight. Makes sense.
I'm wearing red with black, jackass.
So what?
Red on red looks terrible. I hate the Nike Color Rush, period. I don't like any of them. I hate the Oregon uniforms. Like I get it. I'm old. I don't like
them. The Rams were much worse.
Oh, yeah. The mustard was worse than the ketchup. I agree.
But you just got done saying the Jags may be worse than the worst ones
because
ever.
I don't, that's fair. I misspoke. You caught me. Well done, journalist.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah.
You got me.
Where are the Jags playing?
What's with the angry Derek tonight?
I'm trying to counteract the Eeyore
Derek,
Mark.
You guys didn't show up till 8 minutes before, 3 minutes before we go on the air.
He's whistling through
can't
a bottle cap, for God's
can't
sakes.
Can't test the mics out.
Here we go. There he goes, whistling
I
through
can't
the
can't even thingy. Do it now.
All right, so, oh, for God's sakes. Now we're getting complaints about the audio levels.
Yeah, because they were spot on last week.
Oh, well, I mean, they weren't as good as the Pewter Report podcast levels. Wait, that's just the sound of silence.
No, we have things. We actually have video, and the sound levels are perfect.
Okay.
We had one minor error in one. Just happened
interns.
To be the one that you were on.
They have interns.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Mark doesn't do any of that stuff.
I know that.
I don't understand it.
He's just a higher talent.
He is. Well, and he is talented. That's why we have him here. And so all attacks
now
aside.
He's being nice.
Well, I commend you for actually asking a football question in Dirk's PC today. That was nice.
Well,
and what
was
your football question? Let's talk about that, right? Because here we have, and I was going to attack, I find it interesting when the media talks about fans, because generally speaking, they're not fans. In fact, there's a fine line quite often drawn. But you went ahead and you went to the football side. Let's talk about the presser. You're there at One Buck. It's one of the things we love about having you on the show. Tell us how the press conference went, and now things may be feeling a little bit different. Coming off of a couple wins, looking at the Raiders game, it's really starting to feel, at least from the outside looking in, like things may be a little bit different, One Buck.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that because I was the guy who wrote the column after the Atlanta win. Can you feel it? Oh, it's coming, man. The excitement level. This turned
but
a page.
In your defense and not pandering, because I don't pander, we did feel that.
Yeah,
it wasn't
I agree.
Just you. Everyone
sure.
felt that, and
sure.
yeah, we got deked. It happens.
And so I'm gonna just burp. By the way, I'm going to withhold. Listen, this game, and it seems like every week you say this is the most important game, and it is ultimately. I mean, you got to win the one
game
of you.
Season.
But I think that this game will give us an indication of the type of football team this is. Granted, there's still no Doug Martin, but they're going to be pretty healthy. All right, Gerald came back last week. Good chance Ayers is back this week. They're going to be pretty healthy. They've had six games now to get Mike Smith's defensive scheme under their skin. They've got an idea of what they're doing there. I think the defense has played better the last couple weeks. And I really think that the Raiders and the Buccaneers are kind of mirrored images of each other to a degree. Each one has things that maybe they do a little bit better. The Raiders' pass defense is horrible. I think they're last in the league. But they have the best offensive line by far. Derek Carr has been sacked 7 times, been hit 15 times. Jameis has been hit 51 times. So, you know, can they get to the goal? There's a million different little storylines in this. But what I'm saying is these are two teams I think on talent, as far as on paper, are matched up pretty good. The Raiders seem to be a little bit ahead of the growing pains, maybe so. But remember, they got their quarterback a year earlier. So, you know, maybe this is where the Buccaneers are next year, sitting at 5-2 at this point. We'll see what happens, but the press conference, you know, was about the fans initially, and Rick Stroud started it off, and it struck a nerve with Dirk a little bit. You could tell, you know, he mentioned it after the San Francisco game. You know, he doesn't want to see a bunch of Raiders jerseys down in the lower bowl, and I understand that as a head coach. I also understand it from the fans' perspective to a degree as well. You know, they've spent a lot of money over the years. They've had one winning season since 2008. They're 3-14 since the start, or three and I don't remember what. They've won 3 home games since 2014. So you're asking your people, including Pewter Report, who purchases a luxury suite, and I can assure you it is not cheap. And you know, that's a lot of money to spend to see bad football at home. Now, you make a great point. Cleveland fans show up. Other teams that have been poor have shown up. A little bit more tradition probably there, although the Buccaneers won a Super Bowl. Cleveland hasn't won anything since like 1958. But anyway, the bottom line is we got into the football discussion a little bit after the question about the fans. And I thought the fan discussion was good, and I wrote a story about it, what Dirk had to say about it.
Questions.
Yeah, there was multiple questions about it. And, you know, Dirk basically said, you know, he understands. We understand 1,000% that we have to do better on the football field to not have a situation where there's more Denver Bronco fans on the field, or I mean, sorry, in the stands in the fourth quarter than Buccaneer fans. In fact, I remember that game. I thought Was this a throwback game that nobody told me about because there was that much orange down
what,
in that
what color
level?
Do I normally wear to the game, Mark?
Orange.
Didn't wear that game because of that very thing. Even though orange is a distinctly different
orange.
Yeah,
different orange, sure.
You just didn't want to blend in for that reason. But you're right. The sea of orange that they had there was amazing. But Super Bowl team coming to a state that's easy to travel to. There are a couple things, and we will get into football, guys. This is going to be a long show. Poor Mark and Chris are stuck here. They brought sleeping bags. We're going to have a sleepover. We're going to build a little tent. It's going to be not that kind. Don't get excited.
I've already built one.
You've already built one. I figured. This is a place that everyone likes to travel to. And the NFC East teams are the worst or the best, depending on perspective, because it's cheaper for them to bring their family down for a vacation, go see Disney, hit the beach, come to a game, than it is for them to park and buy a ticket at home. So we can lament all we want about visiting fans being here. There's an easy way to stop that from happening. Sell out the stadium and don't sell your tickets in the secondary market. And that's what amazing teams seem to do. When I travel to teams or to games where it's got history, it's really hard to get a ticket. Right. The ticket prices are through the roof. Right. You really have to sell a pound of flesh. Now, fortunately, I have many pounds of flesh that I can give away.
You've got enough flesh where you can get in every game for the next 50 years.
See, he couldn't just take me with the self-deprecation. He had to go pile on, didn't he?
I
didn't cut you off at least.
It's just terrible. But anyway, the thing that's amazing to me is we get upset that people have the audacity to say that, well, we should have a winning team. My question that I just put in the chat room, and I'm not sure whether anyone's responding because I've been too busy talking with you, but when you go to the casino, Mark, and you and I talked about this the other night, we went to the Pewter Report watch party, how often do you expect to win?
Well, with my luck, about once in every 30 visits.
Right.
I don't
casino
know the true
spending,
statistic,
but casino spending, they built Vegas not on people winning.
Right.
Right? When you go to a sports event, it isn't just to go see a winner. It's to be entertained. Now, you could argue that we haven't seen entertaining football, but my lamentation is I have friends in St. Louis who no longer have a team. Mm-hmm. We have friends from Oakland who, when we put out our flyer this week and they had one line in there where we called them the Las Vegas Raiders, we have friends who won't come to the tailgate as a result. They are offended by it. Mm-hmm. Now, we've gotten through the personal things of it, but it upset them that much. We are very fortunate to have one of 32 of these franchises. Now, if you don't like football, if you're in the camp that thinks Roger Goodell has ruined the game and you're not going to watch it anymore, then great. Ride the hell off and don't watch it.
Well, we all know Colin Kaepernick ruined the game.
Absolutely. Clearly. And that's why all the ratings are down, because he has expressed himself.
Right.
Right. No, that's anyway.
There's 11 players out of 600 active roster players who are protesting. And I've gotten to debate, and I've tried to stay out of the vortex because there's no winning. It's just like the political vortex on social media. You get sucked into it. It frustrates you. You end up realizing you've just spent an hour of your life. You'll never get back. And not one damn person has changed their opinion.
Ivanka called me personally.
Yes. She did.
Yeah.
Do you have any pictures of her? Because they're publicly available.
Who are the Jags playing tonight?
The Titans.
Titans.
And you wonder why ratings are down.
I wanted to see that game. I want to see Mariota. But, yeah, no, listen, the games have been terrible.
Ryan just said that in chat. He goes, perfect reason why ratings are down. He benched in the game. As you were saying it.
Yeah. But listen, you know, I've gotten to it with people about that. I know we're straying a little bit. But,
that's okay.
You know, my whole thing is I'm in the locker room. I see this team. There's 53 active guys, right? On the active roster, and then 46 stress, whatever it is. I should probably know that, being a reporter. But the bottom line is nobody on this team is kneeling. So why would people, general football fans, take it out on a team? Again, it's punishing one kid for, you know, or 30 kids for one kid screwing up. You know what I mean? Nope, no recess today. We're all going to go in there and write on the chalkboard. Which actually, I'll tell you this story later, as we've got nothing to talk about in the second hour. That actually happened to me my senior year in English. It's a great story where the entire class got punished by my prank, which was completely unfair. It is unfair. So what I'm saying is it's completely unfair for people to say, screw the NFL, a bunch of whiny, crybaby, rich people who disrespect the flag. No, there are actively around 11 to 15 guys who are doing this out of 600. Why? It just doesn't make any sense.
And Thomas in the chat room made a comment. You know, I love how you guys are so convinced it has nothing to do with it, because he believes that it does have something to do with it.
No, it probably does.
And I'm sure that it has something to do with it. Do I think it's a statistically significant amount? No, I don't personally, and that's just my opinion. It's as founded as his is, which is fine. But I think, and I don't mean to speak for you, Thomas, so let me know if I'm wrong, but and it's not a willfully ignorant, by the way. And so if you want to call in, the studio lines are open, 813-964-7364. So if you want to get off the keyboard and call in and have this conversation, we can, because you and I talk a lot on Facebook. I have a lot of respect for you. We clearly are disagreeing with a number of political things, but that's fine. It's not willfully ignorant, but you can't prove it, and I can't disprove it.
Right.
The reality is, like Mark said, it's a small number. Now, if the fans think that this is the NFL accepting this, right, then don't go to the NBA games either, because they're not going to do it either, because from a contractual perspective, they can't.
Right.
Right, so you can be mad at the NFL all you want, but it's not going to change.
Yeah.
So if that's the reason you don't want to watch the game, because someone had the audacity to express themselves,
well,
right?
Yeah, I you know, listen, every presidential election, you've got Chuck Norris saying he's going to leave the country if the Democrat wins, and you've got Alec Baldwin going to move out of the country. I haven't stopped watching Alec Baldwin movies. I haven't stopped watching Chuck Norris movies. I've got plenty of bands who
Chuck
are extremely
Norris.
Well, I'm just saying, he's like the only conservative guy, you know, him and the one guy that's got the pock marks from acne, James somebody, whatever his name is.
Angelina Jolie's father.
Well, yeah, that one too. Yeah. All right. But
Edward
but,
James
but,
almost was the first one.
No, James Woods, that's who I'm thinking.
Oh, James Woods, sorry.
But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is I don't agree with my favorite actor as my favorite musical artist all the time on their political reviews. I don't really care, because I care more about the product they produce in their chosen field, their art, right? So I care more about – listen, I would not care if Jimbo Fisher was a crazy, you know, tree-hugging, Obama-loving, gay Muslim, right? He coaches the team that I love. I don't care. I love Jimbo Fisher. I care and love the NFL. I don't care what their stance is politically. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm not over...
I love it when he says that.
I'm not overworked and overstressed about how they did the Ray Rice situation, how the, you know, Josh Brown situation is. It's disgusting, blah, blah, blah. But again, it's not enough to make me stop watching something that I love. Because again, I'm not a good guy. I got skeletons in my closet. We all do, right? I mean, we're not perfect.
Not Chris.
No,
Chris
no, he does. He does. I actually helped put a couple of them in there.
I don't have a mugshot.
They weren't skeletons at the time,
I
but after about 6 months, they were skeletons. But anyway, the bottom line is that what I was trying to say is people are punishing. And let's go back to your point as far as teams moving. Our community, the Tampa Bay community, is a better community because of that locker room over there, One Buccaneer Place.
Absolutely.
Because I see what they do. Now, here's another thing. The offspring of what they do is what you do. There would not be a What the Buck providing pillows to battered women at the spring without the Buccaneers.
Better.
It is better. And you're not the only one.
Nope.
Multiple people
Absolutely.
Have tie-ins with the Buccaneers that do stuff for our community, not to mention the amount of money that the Glazers have put in the community. Say what you want about the sales tax and all of that crap. Bottom line is they spend millions of dollars each year annually in this community to make it better.
Absolutely.
And again, I don't understand people who are saying, I'm going to stop watching football because of literally less than 0.5% of the players are not in agreement with their political views. I dropped the mic. I'm going home now.
I normally feel like I can make anything better, but I think you did a great job. I think it was a phenomenal soliloquy.
And you can write me in, Mark Cook.
Yeah, if you haven't already voted,
yes.
And you're allowed to vote through the gun-toting weirdos that are stopping people that look browner from voting. Yeah, I'll take that political shot, too. I don't give a shit. It's my show. I can do that.
Yeah, it's your show. You can do that.
So at any rate, let's talk about football.
How is this, by the way?
It's very good.
It's very good. We are drinking.
It's not quite cold enough.
Well, you were responsible for bringing and chilling, but you brought, and it's cool. So
drink
it's
it faster. Drink it faster, and you won't have to
complain
about
Keeling Curly Madman Hard Elderberry Cider. This was our celebratory drink. So I know we get involved in. It happens, guys. So welcome to the chat room. I'm glad you guys have enjoyed the opening salvos. You know, it's fun. We get a chance to talk about the Bucks winning and talk once again about the possibilities of the future and not just going, oh, Jesus, what can we do to stop the bleeding, right? Mm-hmm. We're not in triage mode on this show, which is a very odd feeling for me and probably for you guys as well. So let's look back on the Raiders game and what went well. And, Chris, I want to get you in here because you've been awfully quiet, and that'll give Mark a chance to interrupt you.
I've been awfully quiet. See, here's the deal. When I did my podcast and my wife would ask me on Tuesday evenings when we did it live, and we did voicemails and all that other stuff, too.
How is your wife, by the way?
You did. Wait a minute. You did voicemails? You had callers call in and leave stuff? I thought that was cutting-edge shit. Oh, wait.
How's the wife?
That's not a shot at Brent.
I haven't seen your
wife
in a
while. That's not a shot at Brent, by the way.
I know.
So if Mark was booked on the show and she asked me, what time are you going to finish up? I would say, well, you better give it 90 minutes versus 70 that I would do maybe if Scott was on. And then I appreciate it. Like you said, he's talented, but Mark talks a lot.
That's okay. That's okay. So what are your thoughts about the Raiders game?
Sorry, it's a podcast.
Raiders or Niners?
I did a lot of drawings at home on a whiteboard, but nobody saw it because it's a podcast.
Never read my notes that I sent him either.
No.
Just trying to be nice. We talking Raiders or Niners?
Imagine if I did read your notes. We would have went 2 hours.
I want to talk the Niners first.
The Niners, okay.
Yeah, right. I'm going to let you riff on the Raiders, but I also, Mark gave you a perfect lead-in about how many times Jameis Winston got hit, and I know you have some strong opinions about that.
I mean, if...
Oh, now you're over that?
If there's one... Well, again, if stuff's written, and you had your Periscope rants this week that
Your Honor,
rant? Please let me note for the jury that was Derek interrupting, not me.
That's
go
fine.
Ahead, go ahead.
That's called dialogue, period. Dude. But, that's different than interruption.
And I understand, and like you said, articles sometimes have to be written, and even if they're 50 words, maybe sometimes, but we're not paying our bills based on putting out content, right? We're doing this for the love of the game.
A 50 word article. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've seen
a whole site based on them.
So, I understand that. And I understand you have to drive traffic to websites, but if an article is written, especially after this game, talking about the hits that Jameis Winston has taken and that it's too many, I think it's the wrong time to release something like that when I think it was actually one of the best games that the offensive line has played. I have a big issue, and we can maybe dive into this a little bit tonight, but I have a big issue with incomplete analysis sometimes to gear the fan base towards whatever talking point that needs to happen that week, right? Last year, the big thing was smiling with Gerald McCoy. And
he doesn't care.
That, right? But now it's kind of pushing towards this, at least week, was the Jameis has taken too many hits, but no mention of that they're in the top five in times that they've thrown, right? So you think of it.
Wait a minute. Do you mean to suggest that if he throws the ball more, if he drops back to pass more, there's a percentage chance he may get hit more?
Correct.
Stop with the math. Just stop it.
Not taking into account he's a second-year quarterback. Not taking into account that they haven't had much of a running game this year either.
Not take into account the fact the guy will look at his ninth read. Yeah. He'll try and complete
he's
a pass.
Always trying to go downfield.
To the guy in the stand selling popcorn if he thinks he's open. He's not a guy that's like, let me just get rid of the damn ball. Perfect example is the very first sack of the game. He shouldn't have taken that sack.
Did you see my tweet?
I timed it out of bounds.
I timed it. It was like 6-point-something seconds that he had. For a loss of one, I get it. But the hits are going to go up because the fact that you got to factor in all those things.
Well, and there's another point, D'Amato King in the chat room. We do have, and Coach Cutter does this quite often, he has some long developing routes.
Exactly.
There are shots that are taken, and there are sometimes we'll have a one or a two or a one receiver route. He'll set it up and set it up and set it up. And Mark, we've talked about it now for 2 years, right? You got to make those work, right? And I remember Arizona, the play to Mike Evans, we had set that up and set it up, and then you take it and it ended up being an interception that game and it went really, really badly. But that concept is not alien to this offense.
Yeah,
And let me just say this, not to interrupt, but these receivers, they're no Usain Bolts or whatever his name is, right? So it's going to take even a little bit longer for them to get down the field. Again,
in
it's
Lewis
not Joey
Murphy's,
Galloway.
In Lewis Murphy's defense, he does have a scooter.
A knee scooter.
A knee scooter. Listen, I love Lewis Murphy. I wish he was back. I hate that he's not. I hate that it looks like he had a setback. Of course, it's veiled, which I'm fine with that. The team's got to protect that kind of information. But anyway, back to what you're talking about, Chris.
They actually don't have to protect that kind of information. They choose to, and they have a right to. The bottom line is, Dirk said he had a setback, didn't even have to tell us that. Number two, told us that it wasn't the knee. So, you know, I don't see what the competitive advantage is that he would lose by not telling us. Because, again, Lewis is no guarantee to come back at any point at all.
Right.
This is just a 21-day window for him to come back if they choose to activate him, if he's ready to go. So, again, it's not like he's, you know, Randy Moss in his prime and this team's, you know, one player away from the Super Bowl.
Well,
but,
that's probably why
you know,
they're working out veteran wide receivers because of the setback. Right.
Right.
That and they're available to work out. Otherwise, the field's just empty.
Every
so.
Tuesday, they've got a handful of guys
absolutely.
Over there.
Dirk hates answering injury
questions. Worked Derek out a couple weeks ago when the defensive line was looking pretty shoddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He couldn't beat out Channing Ward.
I would love to actually see
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Listen, I could be not touching that
He lives
one.
Up the road, doesn't he?
I was going to go there.
He's from Gaither, right?
I don't know where he's from. He's stalker.
Yeah.
He's a hottie. I mean, he sweats a lot. That's what I meant. He's
only in
hot,
Magic Mike.
See, yes.
All right, so 49ers.
XL. Yeah.
Wrap it up. What do you think about the 49ers game? Obviously, everyone's excited about the running game across the board, right?
Sure.
Jacquizz Rodgers, Pro Bowl. Everyone on board with that? Are we voting it up?
He's the comeback player of the year.
Ridiculous. Get a chance Thursday after winning against the Raiders to go against his former team.
Mm-hmm.
Shove their face in the sand.
That game scares me. Short week games, man.
It scares
Makes
me.
Makes me nervous.
Right. Right. And
three games in 11 days. Is that what I read?
And the Bucs beat them before. That hurts. They're coming off two losses. Don't know what's going to happen. You know, but I mean, talking about must wins, right? That's an important divisional game.
Three.
You don't get swept.
Three straight home games, right?
Right.
After
And then you got Bears after that.
The Bears.
That game doesn't scare me.
every game scares me because this team hasn't shown the ability. Now, this week, right? Chris, go back to your comment. I'm not going to interrupt you anymore.
No, it's fine. I think the biggest takeaways from this game, one, obviously the running game you talked about, but I think the offensive line performed very well. Mark mentioned earlier, but I have to touch on Russell Shepard because...
The beast.
Man, that drive in the end of the first quarter, three straight catches on that drive, I believe, or three catches on that drive, mm-hmm. one for the touchdown. But two of those three, he was in press coverage, beat the coverage. One, he got completely mauled from behind, still made the catch, caught with his hands, and then that touchdown was a... corner out into the post, fake the corner out, and just cleared enough room, and nice pass by Jameis on that as well. But he's doing all those things that I love to see from a wide receiver, catching with his hands, beating man coverage, getting off the guy. I was really impressed with Shepard. That's my...
Can you cut that part down where he says getting off on guys?
Getting off.
That's not what he said.
I heard
Listen, Newt Gingrich,
I
heard he's not preoccupied with sex, no more than Megyn Kelly is. Okay, let's not do that.
Hello.
But as Mark talked about earlier, I am really impressed with how this defense is beginning to progress week after mm-hmm. week after week. I don't think they played that poorly against Denver. I think they did enough in that game to win the football game. I think the offense was a huge letdown.
Yeah.
They had three turnovers against Carolina, right? Started to get better in that game. This game, again, started slow, but outside of that first drive, they pretty much were shut down mm-hmm. for the rest of the game. And I think I saw the stat, it was 4 yards per pass is what the 49ers averaged in that game. So I'm very happy with the progression of the defense. I think, Mark, you had mentioned it on a previous show that Mike Smith said give him 4 games for the players to kind of catch on.
Yeah.
I think it's going in the right direction.
Lovey wanted 3 years.
Yeah. Well,
Lovey wanted 3 years to get his defense to catch on.
And we don't have to revisit last year, but I'm sorry. The last 4 games of last year, defense was showing progress, and it's the offense that stunk up the joint. So, but
don't,
again.
Stop with the facts. That's the second time in one show this early you brought up facts. People don't like facts.
No.
So, you have more on the 49ers?
No, and they did it with without Robert Ayers, and they did it without Clint McDonald again in the defense.
Right.
The defense stepped up and played well. Derek mentioned his periscope this week about Vernon Hargrave, so I think is becoming a shutdown.
Stud.
Mark
no
doesn't
one's
like
talking.
To talk about him. But
no one's talking
no
about
his hair in the NFL.
Listen, I don't care about his hair. He could be bald for all I care. But
you don't care about hair. Go ahead.
Dude, my hair is tight. Don't front my hair. My hair looks good.
Nick's hair is tight.
Oh, he's getting it dyed right now because he got straight A's again. By the way, shout out to my boy Nick, straight A's again. He gets blonde highlights in his hair because that's what he wants.
Gets it from
and
mama.
Anyone who has a problem with it, bring it on because I'll be at the tailgate. You can have any questions you want about my son. But the reality of the situation is Vernon Hargraves has quietly balled his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I love nothing more than not having to talk about getting beaten on the corners.
I'm not going
to
beat up my guy Scott, my boss, very much because he is my boss and he could fire me if I did. But he was not a big fan of the Hargraves pick at all.
I wasn't either. No,
and,
I'm a
Gator. I don't understand that. Because as an opponent, a guy who watched the Gators play, probably as much as you did, because as a rival fan, I want them to lose. I get more joy out of watching Florida lose than Florida State win.
You tweet more about the Gators than the team that you root for.
Then maybe not, but it's pretty close.
Only when the Seminoles start losing.
Bottom line is, Vernon Hargraves scared me every time they faced Florida State. The guy was just an aggressive, physical corner who had incredible athleticism, who could play against the run, who could defend the pass, and kind of a do-it-all guy. You guys got a better guy probably right now in that secondary.
Two better guys.
At least one, but yeah, maybe two. And the bottom line is I was a big fan of that because I thought that's what the Buccaneers needed, some toughness at the cornerback position, because they just didn't have that, in my opinion, before Vernon got there. And I think part of it is the style that Mike – and people are always saying, why isn't Jonathan Banks playing? Jonathan Banks just doesn't – his style doesn't really fit in what Mike Smith wants him to do. Mike relies a lot on the back pedal, something that Lovey's defense didn't do. In fact, I think it was Vernon, maybe even Banks, who said – or it was actually Vernon, I believe, with Scott in the offseason, said, we're going back to dropping back, dropping our hips, backpedaling, whereas Lovey's defense was more of a playback,
move forward attack. Yep.
And it's more aggressive, and if it's that's not Jonathan's strong suit. And it's not a strong suit of taller, longer, lankier guys. Again, you got to be able to bend, you got to be able to turn, those kind of things, the fluidity of the body and things like that. It's easier if you're a smaller, more compact guy. But Vernon just really fits this style of defense well. He's got a good mentality. He's not the nicest guy in the locker room. He's not Mr. Media guy. He's not a bad guy, but I'm just saying, he's not Mr. Personality. Don't care. Just play on Sundays and play well.
I got Sandra Bullock
that.
For that, and she is gorgeous, even at like 60 or whatever old she is. She's
just
a geniality.
She's just really not.
Usually,
she's not gorgeous?
No.
Sandra Bullock?
Good God.
She's not. She never really has been.
Listen, I may put a Twitter poll out on this later because she's gorgeous.
She's okay.
I mean, she is Miss Congeniality.
She is. Twice, in fact, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just Blindside ruined it for me. Just terrible. Terrible role for her.
I hate you.
Fake
so
Southern
much.
Accent is
I
terrible.
I hate you so much right now. That's not true. I love you. But I think you're crazy about this.
It's okay. Kate Beckinsale, though.
That's
underrated.
Absolutely irrefutable.
Thank you.
Irrefutable. Her in leather, mm-hmm. you win. At any rate, and by the way, the chat room thinks you're crazy
her
about Sandra Bullock.
No, a couple people have said
Ren,
that, not
Ren
everybody.
Ren just said it's official, you're gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I was going to say, it's almost 2017.
Listen, you can be however you want to be.
It took me 47
years. We don't
years,
have a don't ask,
46.
Don't tell policy on this show.
Yeah. No, I can assure you, if you look at my browser history, that's not true. But I'm just not a fan of Sandra Bullock.
Well, that's okay.
By the way, I delete everything.
Fair enough. So, Jimmy Johnson. You know Jimmy Johnson.
A great former Dallas Cowboy, Miami
no,
Hurricane coach.
No, no,
love
no.
Love him on Fox. He's
he was
awesome.
On Survivor as well.
Yes, he was. And his hair never moved.
And he was a sponsor. Or his sponsor was Enzyte for a while, which is commendable. Well done, Jimmy.
I need to get with Jimmy on that at 46.
But okay. Our Jimmy Johnson, not that Jimmy Johnson, with his stats. And if you guys haven't looked at his stats, I'll tweet his website
not
out.
Not familiar.
Yeah, you are. Jimmy Johnson, you're no. your viewer.
We know him as Yuccaneers.
Whatever. Oh, sorry. Yuccaneers.
Thank you.
I was using his name. Sorry.
Don't do
Mama
that.
Mama call him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
The guy's like in the federal government. He's like a secret operative. And
he posts under his name on Facebook, for God's sakes.
Well, trust me on this one.
Oh, jeez.
You may be found with Vince Foster soon. Okay.
Fair.
The Clintons find out about this.
Fair enough. So a couple of points. I had been railing about Gosser Chairless. Right? I've been railing about him being terrible because he's been terrible. This game, I get a note from Yuccaneers. That's the code, a.k.a. Anyway.
Don't say it.
I won't say his name again. I don't get killed by the Clintons.
I was going to say it. There would
I
be
gotcha.
A bullet could come through this window.
Fair enough. He said that I had to go back and rewatch Gosser this week. So, his data was the team gained 106 yards in a 6 offensive line set this week, which many people reported were 27 times, but he said is inaccurate because all he did was check and see the play counts for Gosser when Gosser actually came in for Dotson a number of times. Not right. because of performance, because Dotson played well. Mm-hmm. Looked like they may have been saving him, and Gosser had a hot hand. But on those 6 O-line sets, 96 yards rushing and 10 yards passing, it was by far the most productive formation.
Right.
Additionally, which was very interesting, on the defensive side, the Bucs unveiled a 3-3-5. A 3-3-5 that had Darryl Smith down with a hand in the dirt with Noah Spence. It looked like a 4-3, but it wasn't. We moved one of the linebackers forward with a hand in the dirt. You still had Quan and Levante, right? That configuration, two of the 3 sacks were gotten out of. It was essentially our NASCAR package.
Well, let's bring it back down, the 3-3-5. So who was technically the third linebacker if Smith is up?
Smith. No, Smith wasn't up. Smith was down. He had a hand.
I mean, that's what I meant. He's down.
Yeah, but he's considered
the
linebacker.
Comes up as the fourth.
He's the fourth. He was the fourth. He was essentially a lefty end.
Okay.
So he played the Jaquiz Smith end, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very effective. It's interesting to see the coaching staff make these tweaks. Now, I'll put these pieces of data out for you, because one of the things he does, he gives you the play-by-play broken down in Excel. If you haven't used Excel and you want to get into this stuff, you can go down and find each one of these plays by minute and second of the game and go back on Game Rewind. Your football IQ will improve.
Yep.
It is phenomenal. So big shout out to you and for those sort of pieces of data that go well beyond the typical stats that most people do.
Thank you.
That 45-yard gain, I believe, was out of the jumbo?
It was. And that was the only play that Gosser was on the left-hand side.
Can I just tell you this about Gosser? I got to spend some time with him in the offseason at an event. This guy, people don't realize how banged up his just body is. He's a veteran guy, right? He's played a lot. And it's football has really taken a toll on this guy. It would not have surprised me to see him walk away this year, but he's making good money in the second year of this deal.
Hell
so,
yeah.
But I mean, this is a guy who, you know, you hear about players that say, you know, it takes 4 days before they can get out of bed without groaning and asking their wife to help him. You know, that's where Gosser is with his knees. I mean, he's just banged up. And so he needs to get into the flow of games, I think, a little bit. When you just bring him in every once in a while, you know, he was a little rusty. We saw that at the beginning of last year. Dotson went down in the first preseason game, the first game against Tennessee. You know, he didn't have his legs underneath him. It took him a while. He became one of the better linemen as the season went on, at times in spurts. That's what you're going to get out of this guy. He's not going to be a 16-game Pro Bowl-type guy anymore. He just doesn't have the knees to handle that anymore. But he's a veteran guy. I'll tell you another thing. Those guys in that locker room, because he's always in there, he's one of the few guys that is pretty much spends the entire open locker room period in there. They love the guy. You know, he's got a great personality. He's kind of a low-key guy, but the Ali Marpets and the DeMar Dotsons, that's probably the tightest, I can't say for sure, but just from my interaction and watching, as close a knit group as you're going to find, which that's the most important group.
Absolutely.
To be that way.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys noticed on the Buccaneers Twitter, and I knew they were going to do it on Friday, they were all going to dress up like Ali Marpet with the red shirts and the khakis because that's kind of what he's known for, and they did. You know, that's the kind of bonding. They go out to dinner, I think, once a week and spend time together. If that's a group that needs to do that, that is the. If you're going to pick one unit on your football team to
do it,
that's the one. But I will say, overall, this is a pretty tight-knit team. And somebody asked me the other day about that 2011 season during that 10-game losing streak. You know, what a 10-game losing streak under a Raheem Morris kind of rudderless or, you know, not a lot of authority type thing was. It was literally a locker room full of guys sitting around literally gambling, playing poker during open locker room. Now, they've got this beautiful multi-million-dollar lounge, right, with tables and pool tables and, you know, Xboxes. They're in open locker room because they have to be a certain time, you know,
right.
CBA rules and things like that. And not only were they there gambling and screwing around and stuff like that, they were and I say gambling, I don't know that there was money, you know what I mean? They were playing cards.
Right.
Let's just say playing cards because I can't say what they were doing. But they weren't talking during that 10-game losing streak either. I'm like, you know, get out of here. If you're not going to talk, you know, don't pretend you're following the rules if you're just sitting in your cubicle if you're not willing to talk. That was just a disaster of a season. And more when I think back, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm comparing the two locker rooms.
Comparison contrast,
night
absolutely.
And day. And there just wasn't any leadership in that 2011 year, really. I mean, you had Rondé Barber on the team.
I think we had talked about it when the year that McCown got so beat up. And I think it was mentioned, I think it was Evan Smith that was talking about it, and that the lack of really camaraderie amongst the offensive line and how that culture kind of needed to change.
There were some major issues in that unit with Anthony Collins. Guys who had worked their asses off, number 69, and, you know, had put in his dues and time and got better, and they signed this guy from another team and just with a boatload of money, you know what I mean? And DeMar and these other guys never like, you know, I deserve more money. But what frustrated them was he wasn't working hard to recover from some injuries and things
right.
like that. And that frustrated the team, the organization as well. That was the big issue that year with that unit. You know, there was a couple bad apples. And I've never been one of those guys. Mark Dominic was notorious because Scott and I would have dinners and lunches. This beer is making me loose lips. I'm probably going to get, you know.
Don't get in trouble.
I'm probably going to get Vince fostered by the by the organization. But Dominic was notorious for wanting to have that perfect harmony and chemistry in the locker room.
Got to go get team captains. Military guys. Brings people together.
Captains on the, you know, Alabama football team. Mark Barron. The bottom line is, is that, you know, those Dungy playoff years, that Super Bowl years, when Sapp and Cheedy are rolling around throwing fists in the locker room.
Should have called your restaurant pressures instead of sacks. Best line I've ever read.
and then you got, you know, and before that you got Hardy Nickerson, you know, taking shots at Keith McCants and things like that. I don't really care that you're best buddies, but on an offensive line, I think it's crucial to have some camaraderie, and that's exactly what they had. I was very nervous about Mankins leaving. That was concerning me, not because of what he did on the football field. He was very average
leadership.
Last year, but the leadership part of it. But some guys have taken over Hawley, and even Evan Smith, although he's not a starter. But boy, can we say enough about a guy like Gay or a guy like Kevin Pamphill,
sure.
who, you know, I don't, and we got into this last week. People say, when's J.R. Sweezy going to be back? I don't care. I mean, it'll be nice, right, if he gets to come back. But this team is not having issues because of the guard position. You know, they're doing well because of the guard position. Pamphill has graded out. Dirk said it. We knew it last week, but Dirk said it, I think, on Monday, that he, during their little break, when they do their own grades, and he's not a big PFF fan, he kind of made a point of that because they don't know what the play is. He says, how in the hell can they grade my guys when they don't know what they're supposed to be doing? So, again, he said, but Kevin is the guy that has graded out the best across that offensive line, and I would agree with that.
He's gotten better week to week.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a slow start for the entire offensive line, but they've gotten better,
right.
I believe, week to week.
And part of it before before this game, and we talked about it last week, George Warhop going to these guys on Monday, yes, when they came back after their little bye week deal, saying, we are not running the football very well. We've got to establish some sort of identity. We've got to get back to what we did last year. Part of that, though, is having a guy like Rodgers, who can break tackles and get past that. Because these five guys or six guys at times are not going to block perfectly every time. Yep. You've got to have a guy that can make that one guy miss.
I think when Doug was healthy,
yep,
his forte, not Matt, last year, at least, was yards after contact and breaking tackles.
Led the league.
And Charles Sims is not known for that.
No.
So when the offensive line wasn't playing as well at the beginning of the year, you didn't have a running back that could be that bowling ball-esque player. Jacquizz fits a little bit more. Jacquizz, did I say his name right?
I don't have to talk about it too.
Rodgers.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to bring up a quote from Dirk today about a zone-based running scheme. And
okay, great.
Really interesting. You know, again, I'm not smart enough to understand all these things, but I thought it was a very interesting point that he made as far as the type of running backs that fit better in zone blocking schemes as far as 1-2-3s, you know, as far as their cuts and things go.
Sure.
I'll pull that up real quick.
His big gainer in that game, the 45-yard, was a cutback on it, and then he juked out the linebacker or whatever. And I counted about 25 yards after contact, the initial that was made. That run, and it's funny that it happened against Chip Kelly's team, reminded me very much of the Doug Martin run last year against the Eagles.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Right, right. Similar, he didn't score.
Sure.
But
what's funny
still.
Is that's, and we had said the week before, the thing with Rodgers is he's fast enough, he gets an open field, he's not going to get tracked down. But it happens. Right?
Yeah, no.
The thing that those two share is, in a lot of running backs that are talented or that are effective is better. Because a lot of these guys are talented and not necessarily effective. They get skinny through the hole. Mm-hmm. And then legs never stop, right? So they get skinny, get to that second level, and by God, that linebacker better make a solid tackle, because if he does not wrap, he is going to get run through, and then it's on.
Especially when a team is committing to stopping the run, as San Francisco
Absolutely.
Tried to do early in that game. We've all seen guys get, you know, 2-3 yards of carry in the fourth quarter. It's a close game. It's they're trying to run out the clock. They bring everybody up. Boom, he hits one for 60. Cadillac did that in the second game against Minnesota as a rookie, and his cleats are in the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't know if they're still there. You'll have to check that next time, Derek. But this is what Dirk had to say about Jacquizz Rodgers benefiting from a zone-based blocking scheme. He said, well, that's what he played in college, number one. I'm not sure if he played that in high school, but Jacquizz is really good at sinking the run into the hole, and then he's really good, has really good vision and quickness to either bounce back or cut. Most inside zone run teams runs are three-directional. You can cram it, you can bounce it, you can cut it back, and he's got all three.
Yep.
And that's Charles Sims doesn't have that. You know, that wasn't his running style.
Well, and we've talked about it before in a different, less detailed fashion, which is one cut and go. Because when you make your read, what he's talking about is it's almost like an option route for a back out of the backfield. When they get to that second level on an option route, they can sit, they can go left, they can go right, and the quarterback and they need to be on the same page. For a running play, it's the same kind of thing. When you put your foot in the ground, when you make the decision that the flow is completed and you're going to make your call, you're going to plant and go, plant and cut back, or plant and get to the edge. Those are the choices.
And that, you know, this is another thing that I love about Dirk, besides the fact that he fired at me last week, you know what I mean? We had a good laugh about me.
Well, have you started asking original questions yet?
Yes, I actually did.
Good job,
When he came in Monday, he looked at me, and he's like, okay, what do you guys got? I said, well, I can't say anything. I'm on the JV squad right now. And he's like, no, you're good.
I liked it today. Cecil Shorts question.
But what I like about him is I love offense coordinators, defense coordinators that become head coaches because they – for the first couple years, they still talk like coordinators,
Absolutely.
Right? And that kind of insight, you would never have got that. No offense to Lovie Smith. That's just not his thing.
No, that's not his thing.
And then on that question that I asked about Cecil Shorts, you know, he brought up, let me just find that real quick, you know, you're trying to throw him.
Targets, right?
You're trying to throw him an outbreaking route, and they cloud the coverage that way, so the quarterback has to get it off. Again, talking about different coverages as far as the cloud on that. And you know, what he was saying about Cecil there is originally on that touchdown pass to Evans, he was the first read.
Yeah, exactly.
But the cornerback came over and it became a cloud coverage. And things. I just love those little nuances and technical things. Even if I don't fully understand them completely, you know what I mean? It gives me a basis to go back and look at things from a different perspective.
You could see it on that play as well, and it's because the offensive line gave Jameis time.
Right. And that
and
helps.
And he didn't give up. Yeah. Plenty of guys would have thrown that sucker in the third row and said, let's kick a field goal here.
Well, and you know, Corey should be calling in any second now, so I want to prep him a little bit. But one of the things that Derek Carr is known for is the ability to get the ball out of his hand fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there are other quarterbacks in the league. Carson Wentz was doing it early.
Sure,
that's what Tom Brady is notorious.
Case Keenum. I talked to the players after that. They didn't get any. And he's like, man, he says, drop back, set, throw. I mean, it's, you know, we just try and get our hands up.
Yeah.
Well, and that is one way you can get, you know, some right. tips and those sorts of things going on.
Arizona was good at that again. I think they had about 3 batted balls in that game, second game of the year this year.
Which was really odd.
Yeah.
That was really – I had
Jameis not
seen
is not
that.
A guy that gets a lot of balls slapped down at the line of scrimmage. He's no Chris Sims.
God, you just gave me some sort of PTSD response. All right, we're going to transition into the Raiders discussion, and we will start talking about it until Corey calls in.
Corey, please call. I have to pee really bad.
Well, fortunately, we have a receptacle. You can actually go do that now if you want to. We'll wait for Corey to call in.
I don't want Fish to steal my thunder. He's good at that.
Fair enough.
I don't want people to start liking him more.
Be the thunder.
You'll start calling him the brunette badass.
Thank you.
Instead of the ginger badass. Somebody actually hashtagged GBA the other day. I was really proud that for the very first time in my life, someone made a hashtag with me. I don't know if that's good or bad, but whoever did that, I should have paid attention. Thank you for that.
Well,
it wasn't trending, and he's the only person that's ever done it. And if you click, you know, when you hashtag, it highlights it, and you click on it and bring it up. That was the only one ever. There was just one. But at least it's there. It'll live on in Twitter, famous infamy forever.
That's good to know.
Yes.
It's good to know you pay attention to that. So let's train our guns a little bit on the Raiders. And we talked a little bit earlier about it. Both of you guys were bringing up some of the...
I got to pee.
So go for it. Make it happen. That way Chris can get some words in without getting interrupted.
You're going to cut him off at the driveway. When we
I parked behind you. Can't happen.
So let's start talking about the Raiders. Yeah. If Corey interrupts us, we'll handle it gracefully, or as gracefully as we do anything on this broadcast.
Sure.
Oh, there look at that. It's almost as if I dreamt it up. Good evening. Is this Mr. Corey Long of, I think, AP this week?
Yeah, this is me.
Holy cow. Good to have you, Corey, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your evening with the fellas. I know you guys are watching the Lightning game. I think it's 1-1 right now, right?
Yeah, it's 1-1. Watch it. I just left there. I'll listen to the rest. I'll watch the rest at home. And, you know, watching that horrible performance by the Jacksonville Jaguars, that awful Thursday night game.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Now, it was funny. The reason, you know, Corey and I have been friends for a long time. Corey's done a lot of work with ESPN and a number of other places. He's a very good football mind. You guys have heard him on our roundtables as well. So not only a friend, but someone who actually knows football, which is great to have every once in a while on a show that allegedly focuses on the game. I saw you post some pictures of the Raiders, and I asked you, what are you doing? And you're covering the Raiders for AP. What can you tell us about the Raiders? How much time have you spent? Give us some intel that we don't already have.
Oh, really, it's been pretty – there hasn't been a lot of shocking news come out. I think the most newsworthy thing this week was that Mario Edwards Jr., he flew to Sarasota to join the team. He's not even eligible to play yet. He's still on injured reserve. So other than that, it was kind of, you know, the last couple of days, people talking about Donald Penn, who
former Buccaneer.
He says he'll never He's gonna have a pretty high, pretty big chip on his shoulder when he plays on Sunday, and you know he's happy to be back and see some old friends. But he says he'll never forget the feeling of being released. So obviously the game's got sort of a personal meaning for him.
Absolutely, and you know it's funny. I was one of the guys who actually liked Donald Penn down here in Tampa. I still chat with him from time to time. I remember when people were talking about him being fat. And then he chokeslammed about every defensive lineman that was on the team. So when he decides to play, he plays good football. I know that Mark disagrees with me on that, which is fine. He's doing some sort of plane crashing.
The season went on, his performance went down. His weight went up and his ability to block went down.
Okay.
42-14 Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's remember that game. Go ahead. Next.
Okay.
It's true.
One day to
play. I like Donald. We made up.
Sure you did.
We did.
Go have some Cheetos with him. That's what I thought. All right, so back to Corey Long, our guest. So talk to us about the offense. Like, a lot of the interest here is there's people drawing parallels between the two teams. Offensively, what do you see coming to this game from the Raiders? What are you going to be looking for as you report from that perspective that the Bucs defense is going to have to contend with?
The Raiders, one thing that's the Raiders are averaging, I think, 28, 29 points on the road. They're a very good road-scoring team. I mean, they didn't looked very good offensively last week against the Jaguars, but still managed to put up 33 points in that game. A lot of that was due to getting some timely turnovers, some good field position. Their goal, as always, you know, on the road, is really going to be try to establish the run, get out there, be physical. Derek Carr, his numbers aren't going to wow you. And, you know, by his own admission, he admits he's not much of a stat guy, but they're going to try to, even if you're going to take away Cooper, they're going to try to go to Crabtree and vice versa. They feel like they've got enough weapons in the receiving game that, you know, whoever, you know, it's gonna, you know, if you're able to try to bracket off and double up a 89, they're able to go to Crabtree. And if, you know, you want to try to stop Crabtree, if they can get Cooper down the field, you know, Cooper and Vernon Hargraves have a little bit of history with each other. They actually, that's the last face-off was an SEC play in 2014. That day did not go well for Vernon. That's all I'll say. So, knowing him, he'll want to set a different tone. You know, knowing they can only play once every 4 years, so I'm sure he remembers that day in Tuscaloosa, and he'll want to set a different tone on Sunday.
Well, and beyond the receivers, which a lot of us know, and I'm a Crabtree guy. I remember from college, I've expected big things out of him as he continues. People obviously think about Cooper, the quarterback who can get the ball down the field. What about the running game for the Raiders? This Bucs defense that seems resurgent. It gets people back as well. We're getting healthy. I want to talk to Mark in a little while after we say goodbye to you, Corey, about McCoy re-injuring that calf. But this is a defense that seems a little bit resurgent. What do you see the Raiders having to contend with that might have them concerned?
Well, you know, Del Rio really felt like he was concerned with most of the front seven. He called McCoy, you know, if not the best tackle in football, one of the best tackles. You know, the linebackers, you know, he really has great respect for the team's overall speed, their ability to come up and do a lot of run help. I thought they did a pretty good job against the run, you know, against San Francisco. I mean, obviously Kaepernick made some yards on scrambles, but in terms of just stopping the run game, I thought they did a very good job. So, I would expect the Raiders to really try to, you know, try to get some power going with Murray, I can't think of the other guy's name off the top of my head, but I know they're going to try to get some power running going, but, you know, I expect this game to maybe be a little high scoring and kind of delve into a little bit more of the passing game. I think both teams are going to try to make their big plays in the passing game. I know the Bucs have had a lot of success running with Rodgers in the last couple of games. And I know they want to keep that going, but you know, this is kind of just off. You know, Hunch, I get a feeling this game's gonna be in the 30s. The team that wins is gonna be in the 30s.
Bet the over is what you're telling us.
Yeah, that's the way I feel right now. I just have that feeling. I think this game's gonna be in the 30s. So
right.
I expect both quarterbacks to have pretty good days.
Let's reverse this a little bit before we let you get back to your safe driving. What do you see the Raiders defense able to do that Jameis Winston and the Bucs need to be aware of? What should Bucs fans be aware of as they're watching the game and Raymond James trying to keep all the black jerseys out of the lower bowl?
Well, the first thing is the Raiders are +8 on defense. They're making a lot of plays out there. Reggie Nelson has been a big part of that turnover machine. I think he's been on the field for about 30%. They think 4 of the 13 turnovers that they've caused this year. So, you know, the one thing about the Bucs is, you know, when they get kind of in that downfield offensive mode, they can give the ball away a little bit. So you're getting a team that wants to capitalize on that. The Raiders are 4-0 on the road, and a lot of that comes from their ability to create turnovers to give themselves favorable field position. So, you know, right now I think you look at it as just, you know, this is a team that is very opportunistic. They're going to take some chances in the secondary. They take chances on passes out into the flat. They really do pride themselves on getting turnovers.
Well, that aggression is certainly something that is good to see if you're a Raiders fan. From the Bucs' perspective, Dirk Koetter and his staff are going to have Jameis and the team aware of that sort of aggression and maybe try and take advantage of it. Now, Corey, as you're covering this for AP, how can people pay attention to what it is you're doing and how can they consume your content, as it were?
You know, that's a good question. I don't even know if they put my name on it.
Oh, man.
All right, as long as my name's on the check,
I was
going to
say, do they sign
about
the check? That's all that matters.
Yeah, name will always be on the check. Now, I'm not sure if they did. I'm going to check when I get home because, you know, AP kind of just floats out there. But I'll send you some links as I find them, and you know, definitely put them up on the various social media outlets. I know what I wrote, so
okay.
If I know what I wrote, I can Google it and find. I'm sure it's running on some wire services somewhere.
Are you?
There somewhere in Google land.
Are you going to be at the game for AP, or are you watching from home?
I'll probably watch it from home if they need me. I'll go, but usually Fred Goodall, the longtime AP veteran of the Tampa Bay area, can handle
my
it.
My hero.
This point. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you end up coming to the game,
everybody's hero.
I mean, think about the bad. You talk about we watch bad football. I mean, this guy was covering the team in the Richard Williamson days.
Oh,
I love
all
listening
seven
to
of
Fred,
those days.
Fred tells some great, great stories of the old days. Some Dexter Manley stories that are unfit for the air. Good stuff, though. Fred's a great guy.
Fred is one of the one of the icons of sports journalism in the Tampa Bay area. He truly is. Every time you have a chance to just sit down and chat with him, he speaks softly, but he says a lot of funny stuff.
And he and Ira go back and forth, and every time they start, I literally have the Odd Couple theme music from that TV show queued up on my computer. When they start going back and forth, I play it in the media room because those two are like bickering, old man and his wife. And I'm not saying who's who here, but in all seriousness, Fred is a guy that I rely on a lot of times for just grammar things because he's written so many words, and I can always say, "Gosh, Fred, is there a dash there? Do you know?" Fred always knows. He thinks about it for a second, and he tells you, and he's always right. So love Fred Goodall, great guy.
Yeah, Fred is one of the best, really. And I just was doing this for him. As obviously the Raiders were in town all week. They played the Jaguars, decided to stay on the East Coast, stayed up in Sarasota at the Ritz-Carlton, and they practiced at a IMG Academy, which Michael Crabtree was really impressed with. And when it was asked to compare it to the Raiders facility, he goes, "Well, our facility's coming along."
did anyone ask him how the facility in Las Vegas looked?
Easy.
No. I wonder if they'll have casinos inside of like the lockers and stuff.
There will be a lot of neon. We know that at least.
Yeah, I want slot machines inside like the workout facilities. I want to be able to go to practice and be able to also,
In the stadium, you should be able to bet on the game live. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, Corey, well, if you come out to the game, definitely come out to the tailgate. We'd love to see you. For those of you who don't know Corey, follow him at Corey Long on Twitter. He covers the Lightning for us here locally, which is great. And we appreciate all the stuff you do for the Lightning. And if you have any other things you'd like to plug, man, here's your shot.
Oh man, I'm trying to think right now. I'll be at the USF Navy game tomorrow. So hopefully anybody who's doing that, come out there, see me and say hi. That'll be I'm excited to see Navy. I hope they bring the band. The Naval Academy band is just really wonderful.
There'll be plenty of room for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of stadium.
I don't think it'll be a huge crowd there. There won't be an overflow attendance there tomorrow.
All right. Well, Corey, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time out of your social calendar tonight and telling us about this. What's your prediction for the game?
My prediction for the game is, I think the Bucs are going to get their first win at home this year. I'm going to go 34-31. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a back-and-forth tight game, late in the fourth quarter. So I really think it's going to be a fun game.
You're either saying Aguayo is going to miss an extra point or he's going to make a field goal at some point in this game with the 34.
Y'all need to lay off of that.
No, we won't. Stop it. Second round guy, he's got to be perfect from inside 50, man. Or a lot better than 61% or whatever.
Like all the high drafted kickers of the past have been.
As far as the tip, I'm a Jets fan by birth, and they've yet to have a second round pick that's worked out. So it's join the crowd. He'll be fine. 10 years from now, he'll still be here. We'll be laughing about
when he's on his fifth team, though.
First year.
Yes.
All right.
Well, he'll be fine.
Mark's not going to give. Mark's trying to balance his love.
I would rather
FSU.
Have Caleb Sturgis.
That's not
former
true.
Game.
I would.
He's a better kicker. Yes.
That's a lie.
No, all right.
Well, thanks, Corey Long.
No,
that's at Corey
right.
Corey Long on Twitter. Thanks for calling in tonight. You guys follow Corey, especially if you're Lightning fans. I know we get a bunch of them out there. Corey's Lightning stuff is phenomenal, and hopefully we'll get those links from you on AP afterwards, and we'll get them out there.
I hope so, man. I hope so. But either way, I'll definitely be watching. So, hey, you guys do a great job. And, have a great night. Enjoy the tailgate. Everybody should go out to your tailgates. So it's the best tailgates in the world as far as I'm concerned.
And I like that. I like the in the world part. I'm going to take that bumper. We're going to use that.
The entire world. Absolutely.
In the universe, as far as we know. So there you have it.
Yeah. The galaxy. I am a tailgate aficionado. I've never seen one better.
All right, Corey. Drive safe, my brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Derek.
Bye. Corey Long, ladies and gentlemen, from AP this week. And again, covering your Tampa Bay Lightning regularly, which is phenomenal. It's always good when you get a chance to have Corey on the line. So let's transition over to Raiders discussion. I want to open up with Chris, because I know you got some material here on the Raiders you want to get going on, and that gives Mark a chance to interrupt you. So
Sturgis is better this year, by the way.
He is, statistically. There's no question.
Can we talk? Oh, I got so much Wyoming stuff to talk about.
Do it.
Well, Corey did mention one of the big things, and I think it's one of the keys of this week, is turnovers. And the Raiders do a very good mm-hmm. job of protecting the football. Mark, you talked about it. Derek, I think you talked about it when Corey was dialing in.
Yep.
That David Carr gets the ball out quickly. They don't turn the ball over very often, but their secondary, even though they got some kind of some questionable guys, they brought over David Amerson, who was a Redskins and jettisoned out of that organization, had a pick this past week against Jacksonville. Reggie Nelson, who I was pushing for the Bucs to sign in the offseason. Mark, I think you even jumped on that
sure.
for me. Not the greatest getting up there in years, but leads them or tied with turnovers or takeaways. Sean Smith, again, the other corner, and a young, talented safety out of West Virginia.
But again, they're ranked 32nd in the league, right?
Well, sure.
They're pass defense.
Sure.
They're not playing well
correct.
In the back end, which should help the Buccaneers if Jameis Winston's going to, you know, have another 300-yard game. And you know what? I don't think the Buccaneers care if he has another three. If he has another 269-yard, 70%, three touchdown, one interception game, they're going to win a lot of football games that way if they can run for over 100
sure.
yards.
I think this game is going to come down to that is the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And can the Bucs protect the football this week? Because as poor as many yards as the Raiders will give up, they will get the turnovers as well. So
right.
I think that's going to be the key. I think Corey even mentioned that. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think they're going to get much at Derek Carr. I think, you know, they get the ball out quickly, good offensive line. Running game, I'm not that concerned about. You know, they
right.
they don't run it that well. They're efficient. I think it's going to come down to turnovers this week. I think it's huge. And the Bucs have gotten better now getting takeaways. The offense has to generate that into points like they did this week against the 49ers.
You mentioned safeties and Reggie Nelson. And yeah, that was a guy that I would have liked the Buccaneers to take a look at. Anybody really at this point?
He's
but
a
boy,
stop. He was a stopgap.
They had
that was
guy,
my big thing.
But they had
right?
they had a guy on their team who's playing lights out for Arizona right now in Swearinger, who had an interception against the Buccaneers, who's played well on the two national TV
on every
games
other,
had.
And on every other team
every
but
other
here.
Team. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the Lovie Smith type scheme he didn't really fit into. But boy, every time I've seen him on national TV this year or in that Buccaneers game, he's just done nothing but make plays. And I just keep thinking, although I will say this, I really believe, and I was very down on Bradley McDougal. And I'll tell you this, there were people in this organization who were thinking the same thing. We have got to find a replacement for Bradley McDougal at some point. I say we because I'm speaking what the organization said.
Sure.
But
because you're part of the organization.
No. But I'm just paraphrasing what they told
okay.
me.
They own a suite. Didn't you hear him earlier?
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Free cigar.
I could hear the echo of him pounding his mm-hmm. chest.
Which
I can't
somebody
mention,
you've been in the suite, by the way.
I can't mention other beer companies of what's served in that suite.
Well, we sneak a few of these up. No, I'm kidding. Listen, this is what I'm saying is Bradley McDougal has had his two best games as a Buccaneer easily the last 2 weeks. And I think Chris Conte was fine last week. It wasn't many glaring errors. I know that you break the film down a little bit more than I do. But I've talked to Chris off the record about things, and obviously I can't just repeat what he says. There's a reason why it's called off
cider.
The record.
Get him another cider.
No more ciders for me. You reach my bag though for that bottle if you medicine. My head hurts. But what I was going to say is talking to Chris. You know, he's not going to badmouth, but he knows that those guys were better than what was showing, partly because of what was going on with the nine guys in front of them too, and I know it's easy for us to pick on safeties, but they literally are the last line of defense. That's why they're called safeties.
Well, they are, you know? When they are the last line of defense. When they bite so hard on play action that they end up in front of your linebackers.
Overly aggressive. Absolutely.
They're not the last line of defense.
I agree.
And that's not the
get
front line's
position.
Fault.
I agree. But let's say take that sack by Jude in that game. That was a corner and a safety blitz. It's not the safety's fault if that's what Mike Smith is asking Chris Conte to
exactly
do.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Absolutely. And that speaks to what Dirk Koetter said in other people about PFF. If you don't know the play call, sometimes it's tough to grade. Now, I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater because I think PFF does a pretty damn good job given the amount of the data that they do have, right? And you have the constant discussion about whether their data is accurate because they don't know the plays or is at least more accurate than snap count data and other data. And you could certainly argue both sides of that
Greg
coin.
Greg Schiano told me he'll take, I think it's Pro Football Outsiders over PFF all
and,
day
and,
long.
And most podcasters worth their salt or broadcasters mm-hmm. worth their salt look at both.
Right.
They don't use one as religion.
And Greg told me because they They put things in context as far as situational type things.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so,
and you've seen PFF move that way over the last 2 years.
They've had to.
They've had to
get called out on it. Sure.
Yeah. But still, you're talking about a bunch of guys that were sitting around a coffee table 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're one of the preeminent statistical groups in the league.
Cheryl, get ready to have a drink. In Mobile at the weigh-in, PFF was there this year greeting every media member, coach, GM, with a bag promoting PFF, so they have a deal with
Of the money that you have to get their
football.
Stupid subscriptions
yes,
now.
Yes, I agree.
Well, Collinsworth took that over, right? I didn't even realize that. That's why NBC's got the deal with them now, right?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Collinsworth, the CEO.
Yes,
I did not know that.
Well, and we could have went the rest of our life not knowing that.
He's a Gator.
Hard hitting. I know, because he's a slow receiver.
It's true.
It's easy to tell them. Was Largent a Gator? He looked like a Gator. Another guy that caught for a million yards.
Yeah, Steve Largent.
Yeah, you didn't say who about Largent, did you?
I didn't hear what you said. Okay. It made sense. I started thinking slow white guys, and I just
you knew it
in my
immediately.
Head. It
There's a top list.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of any other ones, and I can't think of any. Larry Swider? No, he was a punter, so that's all I know.
Mark's right about
boom,
it.
Boom, Swider reference.
Bring reference.
That, beat that one,
Swider.
Somebody in the chat room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Swider. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Mark's right about McDougal, especially in the last 2 weeks. And I know we had a conversation. I think we were at Keelan Curley. We were talking about Bradley McDougal, and he's hitting people. I can't. I haven't seen
it's
this.
Like, it's literally and
like
it's
a light
window.
He's laying him out.
I mean, it's a silly cliche, but literally the light has turned on for him. I also believe part of it again is the nine in front playing a little bit better.
Sure.
I think Mike Smith is calling a better defense. He has more confidence in guys now. He's being a little bit more aggressive as well. He doesn't call that corner safety blitz in week 1. I don't think. Because when you do that, you've got areas exposed, and you're asking a guy to make a decision on the back end. In that particular case, would have been Bradley McDougal because he would be the only safety back there. And so he's got to make that split-second decision if they don't get to him. So I thought it was a great call. I'm not for them to, well, why don't they do it? They did it. Worked one time. They should do it every play. No, you can't do that because you will get burned, I can assure you.
That's silly.
I don't think there's been enough talk about how this defense is improving. It's fun to talk about offense. It's fun to talk about Jameis and the running game and Mike Evans and what he's doing this year. But if folks are not looking at what is happening on the defensive side of the ball and how it is getting better week to week, and they're going to have setbacks, right? Atlanta comes to town on Thursday of next week, right? Julio Jones and their offense and top offense, whatever it might be. So you're going to have setbacks. But if you at least—
He's already predicting a bad game by the secondary.
It doesn't matter. The trend right now, okay, if you look at the trends, I think this 49ers game was the most complete game that this team has played all year, minus special teams, which I think was iffy.
Minus
return
returners.
Game. Return game.
Return game.
Because the other side was side.
Yeah.
A 50-yard that wasn't close enough. But that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
That guy. So I think it's the most complete game.
I bet Donald Trump doesn't like him. Go ahead.
I'm harder on the offense, I think, and I have been. Because I think it just gets hyped so much because the quarterback. I'm not doing any political talk. You can't bait me.
He's a master baiter though.
master
I was
debater.
An apprentice baiter for a long time.
But now you're
took
a master.
Me years. I am a master baiter.
Any criticism towards the guy behind?
Anybody got any insight in
damn
the drawer?
It, he
would
did
you
it.
Sorry,
shut up.
Yeah, I couldn't help it.
He just interrupted.
Wait, we went an
discussion.
Hour and hour.
Come on.
His first
any
time.
Discussion regarding the guy behind center is kind of pushed away. You can't talk negatively about him. I'm harder on the offense. I think the offense has played poorly in some games this year, and I think it's cost the team some wins where the defense has stepped up. So I like the trend. I like this past week where they both actually played well because I don't remember a Bucs game where both the defense and the offense actually played well. It's usually one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, you
got
to really literally go back to like the Philly game last year.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? A game
we're
like that where
up.
Both sides really dominated and did what they were supposed to do. And I'm not one of these guys say, oh, defense. You know, yes, I know going back as a kid, I started watching this team. First game I watched, 1977, me and my dad sat down and watched New Orleans Saints and the Buccaneers. And
you were the
ruined
only two.
Me, ruined me for life. First game, I thought, yeah, this is a pretty good football team. Little did I know the misery it would cause me over the next, 38 years. But anyway, the bottom line is, you've always felt that this team was built on defense, was kind of known for a defense, and up until last year, really never had a prolific offense. God, if they would have had a decent offense when Dungy was here, they would literally be multiple Super Bowls. But as Warren told me when I asked him that question at a press conference, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. What the hell are you saying, Cook? So. You know, and he did do that. Remember I was telling you he embarrassed me in a press conference after he stole my dip can?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the quote. But the bottom line is it's been a defensive mind. What I'm saying is I'm not one of those guys who say, oh, we got to have this prolific, you know, great top 10 defense to win a Super Bowl, because you don't. I mean, that helps, certainly. You got to score points. The offense, the NFL has geared this league around, you know, high scoring type games. The majority of the rule changes have benefited the offense. That's what they want to see. You poll fans, they want to see more offense. I don't care how it is. I didn't care that it was 17-14 in that Carolina game. As long as when I left that night, the Buccaneers had to win, and I knew my week was going to be a hell of a lot easier. And same thing last week. But you're right. Most complete game in the last 3 years easily, I think, because we know the first Lovie Smith 2-14, then last year 6-10. So, yeah, it was definitely – again, that's why I feel that this is a great test to know where this team is, because you're going up against an offense that has a great quarterback, terrific wide receivers, runs the ball decent, has a great offensive line. What can you do? Still a wounded defense. We'll see who's out there on the field, but it'll be a big boost if Ayers can be back out there.
Well, they could come out. I'm gonna censor myself. They could come out and completely poo-poo the bed this week, right? And they could. And then,
they could,
and
because
then
it's still you're still a defense that's six games into the season.
The NFL is week to week,
right?
And you know, it doesn't matter if it's the the LA Rams coming to town, or if it's the Raiders coming to town. You know, where we expected a low scoring game against the Rams, and what do we get? High scoring,
right?
I expect a high scoring game this weekend, but it could be 12-9, whatever it is. Well,
I hope not.
Missed extra point. But we don't know. But at
but that least, means he made a field goal, two
at,
of them.
At least it's starting to trend in the upward direction.
Right.
And that's without Robert Ayers.
Right.
That's without Clinton McDonald. That's without some of these guys and Gerald being beat up. So I think that's at least a positive to kind of latch onto from a fan base, is that you can see progress on the defensive side.
How good of a game did Gerald McCoy have? I mean,
ridiculous.
I mean, just – I literally at times saw three – I mean, I saw double teams and still other guys trying to chip on the guy a little bit. I mean, he just had a tremendous game. Shows you the impact – that this guy can have. He's not going to be 16.5 sack Warren Sapp, and that's just the way it is. But
it's hard when you have three guys on you.
But it does. But the fact is, when Ayers can get back out there, that's even going to help him a little bit more. I think his game's even going to go up another level. Akeem Spence, another guy nobody talks about, just a guy that's filled in, that's earning money. He's a free agent. He and Will Golston.
They're eating right now. Both of them are eating.
That's what I asked Dirk about on, I don't know if it was Monday or Wednesday, one of these days this week, about Will Golston. He says, look, he's had his two best games as a Buccaneer, or at least as long as he's been here the last 2 weeks. And he said it's funny because as all these guys were going down, Will's going, hey, I'm the veteran on this football team all of a sudden. And he's playing like it.
He is.
And, again, it's a contract year. I don't care. Whatever makes you play, whatever makes you perform, you know.
I've never understood why people seem to take umbrage to the fact that that players, when money is an incentive, play better. Don't you? Right? Aren't you incented by money?
Yeah, when your boss tells you in 4 months we're going to give you your evaluation.
Performance follows compensation.
Yeah, right.
It is a truism.
No, Derek, Doug got his money, and now he's purposely injured. And
How about the guy who wants his legs to – there was a guy who tweeted, I think, to Greg Allman today about, thanks for screwing up my fantasy football team, you jackass.
Yeah, I saw that
And then
tweet.
Made some
Allman
comment about
it
his
well.
Knees. Yeah,
yeah.
We were actually just waiting on Dirk when that guy tweeted that, and Greg read that. He's like, unbelievable.
So here's the thing with Twitter, and by the way, RIP Vine, you know, rest in peace. Vine's gone with the way of the dinosaur. But Twitter does allow lowest common denominator. Everyone has a voice, and you can listen to it. I find it funny that mainstream media will quote someone on Twitter that has six followers and is a jackass. But they'll quote them because it allows them to advance a narrative, or they want to prove a point. And that happens not just in sports. It happens in like, legit stuff as well. Anyone wishing injury on someone is ridiculous. I actually talked to you when we were in Arizona. We had some of the Buccaholics who are great Bucks fans out there. I had the pleasure of having a gentleman down with me who had never had an opportunity to sit in the lower bowl, and I had an extra ticket, and he came down there and said, it was great, great guy, right? And Kelly Campbell went down injured, and he got up and was kind of talking trash. And I grabbed him, and I pulled him down. I was like, you don't ever celebrate a player injury.
Never.
My dad brought me up that way. He said, this guy's a 50-year-old man, right? He looked at me, and he gave me a hug. He's like, thanks. I've had a couple beers.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have done
emotional,
it. I'm sorry.
Sure.
You get emotional. But you don't go out there and celebrate injuries. It's just stupid whether you're on Twitter or not. Don't be a jag-off, right?
I mean, those are the things that my 15-year-old son does, literally. You know, the other night, Lamar Jackson was running all over NC State, and, of course, Lamar Jackson did that against Florida State. He says, somebody's just, you know, I hope he gets drilled in the knee or something. I was like, dude, come on, you're a football player.
You
miss games because you dislocated your knee, and you cried every Saturday when you couldn't be out on the football field. You know how bad it hurts.
And you look
to
at a guy
that.
Like
Vontaze, he apologized.
You look at a guy like Vontaze Burfict, who, and I don't know him as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And I should probably, because I know people who do, I should reach out. But this is a guy who, anecdotally, when I've watched the Bengals, I do get a chance to watch him, looks like a piece of shit going after guys' legs on a regular basis.
Right.
And yet, the league is more interested in finding people for celebrations than going after someone who's trying to actively injure players.
Well, I did like what they did last year in that playoff game against Pittsburgh. I think he, you know, was suspended for a couple games this year because of that. Definitely fine. But I agree. I mean, that guy was known for that in college. I mean, that's the reason that he ended up, I think he was a late-round draft pick or maybe even a free agent, was because the guy's certifiable. Okay. But I'll tell you this, talking to some GMs, the best pass rushers, if you look at a study, you take a look at the NFL in history, and not all of them, because we know Leroy Selman was as fine a human as you can have, but the Charles Haley's of the world and the Lawrence Taylors and those guys are guys who were brought up under bad circumstances, maybe have some bipolar issues and things like that. It's a mentality.
You got a lot of dog.
You got a lot of dog. And, you know, and again, Gerald's not that guy. He's one of the best. I saw him help up a 49er the other day. I didn't really like it, but I think it might have been Cappy helped up. I was like,
no one went on a tangent about that? And I don't think it
was. I was going to tweet it as a joke, but again, as I mentioned earlier, the whole vortex. And it's just, that's the one thing I am learning in my 46 years is pick your battles. Because if not, you will get sucked into a vortex that you will completely waste an hour of your life, and I can't do that anymore.
Well, that's what sports media in general, and Derek mentioned Twitter, that's now the culture. That's what it is. It's what is going to attract clicks. What am I going to say that I may not actually truly believe, but is going to drive people to download my show or to tweet at me or to hit up my website and all that? And that's what pisses me off.
But it's hard to turn that down. I mean, well, I had a discussion yesterday, and we are so cautious on that. We had an opportunity yesterday on this, and I can't say what it is, but on the whole situation as far as a potential trade with
you can't talk about this stuff.
No,
Come on, we
talked about the Lock and Four report, but we had a little bit more information on it, and boy. This could have been something that maybe gets blown up and picked up nationally, and that certainly helps our unique visitors and all this. But I saved it as a draft. I called Scott on the way home. I knew I had, you know, let's think about this. Let's let cooler heads prevail. And we decided to go against it. Come to find out 10 minutes later, thank goodness. Well, not thank goodness. Because, again, you're right, Chris. People don't care what the repercussions are. They can throw anything they want up against the wall. If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, they can just say, I was wrong or I had a bad source. We had a bad source on this situation, so I'm glad that we didn't use it. But, you know, it's a struggle at times because you know, I can word this headline to where I guarantee you it's going to get twice as many clicks, right?
Yeah.
But you also don't want that reputation as that because there's plenty of people out there that already do that.
Well, why?
And part of, and I'll be honest, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. And legitimately, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Normally, he does.
Part of, and I had a business meeting with somebody on Tuesday night, and they brought that up. That the reason that they are going to choose to partner up with us is because of professionalism. And look, we're not the greatest. There, you know, we've made our mistakes and things like that. But overall, we're not going to be the TMZ of the world. You know what I mean? And Derek might disagree a little bit. He wasn't a big fan of the Lovie Smith thing last year with Scott calling for him to be fired
because it was bullshit.
You know, well. Anyway, I disagree.
I love Scott. I
know
think he's
you
a
do.
Tremendous reporter. I just think that was trash.
But as I told you at the time, I can assure you it was not for the clicks. Scott was extremely
passionate
about
it. I totally believe he believed it.
I totally
do.
Right. Yeah. But again, I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back because there are times where I wish we would be a little bit more loose with things because but that's Scott's whole thing is rather be a little bit late and be right than be, you know, first and wrong. And
absolutely.
And part of my job depends on how many visitors we get. My salary depends on, you know, those kind of things. So I want as many as possible.
It's the same for Chris and I. I mean, our salaries are directly.
No, we're not.
Totally not.
No. Well, what you're saying is if I gave each of you a dollar a night, it would double what you made last year in this business?
Realistically, mathematically, anything times zero is zero.
Yeah.
but anyway,
I don't have any dollars, so.
The reality
still...
is there is a reason we partner with you, right? There's a reason. And Chris knows this. We talk about it all the time. And what's funny is there's a great chat going on in the chat room right now. D'Amato has tried. Sub-podcasting instead of sub-tweeting was a phrase used. Shadow podcasting and then shade casting as what we're discussing here with other podcasts and other styles and stuff like that. The reality is one of the luxuries that we get, and Chris has it more than I do right now because he's not doing the show. He's got his BYOCB show, which is great, and he's doing a terrific job with that.
It's really not great.
We don't have to give a shit it's what good. Anyone thinks. We can come out like right. I did. I'm enjoying the hell out of the Periscope integration with Twitter. It's a lot of fun to be able to get out there because there was all these discussions, and I can just, when I'm waiting in car line, knock off 3 minutes of, hey, you think X, Y, and Z? This is why A, B, and C is true, right? It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. So, but that's why we need to partner with someone like Pewter Report who has the depth, has that allegiance to a better set of ethics than I think is common.
Integrity
is the word
I'm looking for. That's the one thing I've always said. I don't care if people don't like how I write. Brian Winfrey points out every time I leave a exclamation point where it should have been a period, so on, punctuation. It's okay if you don't like me for that. And question, if you believe that I know anything about football, that's okay too. Just don't question mine or Scott's integrity. Those are the two things, because at the end of the day, that's really all we got, right? All of us, in a sense.
It's all any of us have.
It is. Yeah. And that's that. You want to talk about the way your dad was raised? My dad, liars are the worst people in the world, right? He hated a liar. Wouldn't even allow us to use the word liar in the house. That's how much he hated a liar. He says you can rehabilitate a thief. You know what I mean? You can rehabilitate a drug addict or a drunk. But a person who lies, a person who has no moral ethics whatsoever, those are just people who are just doomed inside internally. And so why are we talking about this? This should be the Lost in Rebound or whatever your other show is.
Lost in Profound.
Oh, sorry.
And by the way, I don't usually pimp that podcast on this show because I don't think people really want to know what I really think about the world. But
no,
you're welcome
to
check it out.
We're going to lose viewers. Just like when Scott gets political and Pewter Report. No, he jokingly said he was starting his fab tomorrow with the election. I said, your computer. I will call our web developer and tell him to pull the plug on it for this week. No. But I will say this, because you'll get to this later, but while we're talking about it, we are going politics. Scott is going politics with the Fab tomorrow. However, who is the president of the Buccaneers? Who did the team elect? Who would be their platform as far as the president and vice president?
That's
it's a really
neat. I like that approach.
Really, it's again things that Scott can think of being in this for 25 years.
Stuff.
It is good, and
it's
I think it's going to be.
A different
I haven't
angle.
Read it yet, but I like the idea. It's just a little bit different, throwing things. And he had a little few minutes alone with Jameis, so that gives you a little bit of hint of who may be in charge.
It's not going to be Aguayo then.
No, but I will say the vice president is going to be very surprising to most people.
I know who it is.
I'll blink twice if you're right. Well, write the initials down. Let me see if you're right.
Well, I know it's not Gerald McCoy because he smiles and he helps players up. And that you can't have that in this town.
No.
So I'm going to write who I think
it is. Nope, it's not. Oh, I know. I took about 13 guesses. I mean, I went down half the roster and Scott goes, nope. So anyway, very interesting.
Well, it'll be a good article. So that'll be on pewterreport.com. It's funny, we had gone this integrity thing, and my dad had defined a lie as a direct and intentional denial of the truth, which spoke to what he thought about liars, very much to what your dad said too, right? So we'll get off this rant, but it's interesting, the integrity concept. And I hope you guys, we're very fortunate. We got a lot of folks that follow this podcast, follow our site. You guys have even more folks that follow your site. God, your site's huge, right?
Huge.
It's huge, Tampa. It's huge. But they don't sponsor us, so I'm not giving any props, so damn them.
And we've tried.
I bet. But the interesting part is I love the fact that our fans, and I believe the same thing about your readers, our listeners, whatever you want to call them, right? We had our watch party this week over at Ferg's. Did a great job. Shout out to Ferg's Live and to Tito's Vodka, what we did over there. You guys saw the Periscopes. I do apologize. Ryan pointed out that I did not prep people for my language at the watch party. I might have been a little bit emotional because I watched people jumping off the Skyway Bridge when we went down 14-0. And had to deal with the same old Buccaneers. We suck.
Oh,
we're the worst
absolutely.
Team in history. That whole cavalcade. Listen, guys, just because you can tweet a thing doesn't mean you should tweet a thing. Think about it before you do it. That goes for everyone. And I've screwed up, too. I'm not saying Glass House.
But damn. Chris will tell you if he watches me during a Florida State game. In fact, I can pull up, because people bring this up every year.
Talk more about the Gators.
Well, that too. But I, when the Buccaneers lost to, I got a great story with Mike Glennon and Jameis today in the locker room. I can tell you that a little bit later. But if we run out of topics, but the Florida State lost to NC State with Mike Glennon, and it came up on my Facebook memories the other day too. Jimbo Fisher is the worst coach in college football. Please go to LSU. Now, again, this is the year before they won a national championship and so on and so forth. So, again, I am that guy, all right? I tell people, don't pay attention for 3 hours when Florida State is on. Yeah. I would hate for Jimbo to ever read my Twitter account.
Don't worry about that.
But I've never deleted anything. No, I've never deleted anything. If I'm an a-hole, I'll be an a-hole all the time. So anyway,
good.
I get why, because I started to get mad when they were down 14-0. You're right. Reading Twitter, like, same old Bucks. This is garbage. This team sucks. I'm about to pull up a guy's comment on Jameis Winston early in that game. And it's funny, though, when people, and you've gotten into this, too, where people get in so deep with their opinion, even though when things turn, they still just dig their heels in even deeper. Yeah. Like,
well, we win, but he still sucks.
Right.
Yeah, 70%, 3 touchdowns.
It's exactly the conversation. I'm not going to bring up the guy's name because he's a big Bucks fan. He's a good dude, and I enjoy talking to him, but I had to call him out.
What are you shaking your
game.
Head about, Chris? Chris, I wish you guys could see this when we stopped doing video.
The stuff on Mark's face is he follows it. It's all I see is Hillary, Donald, Hillary,
that,
Donald.
I will
Hillary,
say this. Donald. I will say, you talk about fair and balanced as far as my friends. It literally, I'm so sick of this. It is so 50-50, and it's literally a meme or a video about Hillary Clinton killing people and Donald Trump making love to goats, yeah. And Hillary Clinton is a secret member of ISIS, or, you know, Donald Trump has is murdered children.
It's
so
just, it's interesting watching him go through.
It literally is. But this is the one person, though, so he's back and forth, but he's very... Anyway,
so while we're over here in the chat room.
Wait, here it is. This was and I'm sorry if you're listening, and I won't mention your name, and you're a good guy, and I appreciate you. The thing was, Winston is garbage, poor mechanics. Okay, we can agree that at times his mechanics fail him. Those are certainly something that can improve. And then he says, he's awful. He's Freeman 2.0. Terrible feet, awful release, can't read a defense, stares down his receivers. He's regressed. And at this point, I'm like 15 to 23, 65%, 195 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and it's only the third quarter. And he goes, but his mechanics are terrible. I said, so were Brett Favre's. And somebody else.
So you engaged him.
Yes, I did. I went to the vortex. So are, but I stopped at that point. I'm learning, because if not, I would still be going at it 4 days later. So are Matt Stafford's, blah, blah, blah. But he's still digging in his heels at the end of the game.
But this is what's funny, because this is the social media reaction to when the game is going on. And it pisses me off, because it's that incomplete analysis as well, where you mention one thing and you rip on someone for one. Like, I'll tell you right now, DeMar Dotson on that Jameis pick blew his block, right? Mm-hmm. Bad footwork, got beat on the inside.
Yep.
Jameis threw the ball, so on both, right? But DeMar Dotson also had a key block on that Anton Smith reception. So,
right.
Yeah, you can dog on a guy for one play, but you gotta complete the full analysis on is that after that, DeMar Dotson had also a key block that sprung a big play.
Anybody that knows football will tell you, and it's almost a cliche to say this to a degree, offensive line, again, maybe because I coached it in high school, maybe because I played it a little bit, and maybe because some of the guys I like the most are on that offensive line, I stick up for them a little bit because they stick out like sore thumbs when they screw up,
sure.
And nobody knows anything they do when they're doing a good job. The average fan is not watching the play of the offensive line unless the quarterback gets sacked because somebody missed the block and they replay it 9 times, right? Or they get called for a holding penalty or a false start. No job in sports can you be successful 99.4% of the time and yet still be listed on our Pewter Report most unimpressive player, right? Most disappointing player because you missed a block, your quarterback got sacked, there was a fumble return for a touchdown. It's a lonely life as these guys. But I don't feel sorry for them because they're making a lot of money. If you're a halfway decent offensive lineman, you're making a lot of money in this league.
It's not like the guys playing opposite them are getting paid either to win and do their
exactly.
Job, right?
And there's a case of
a shame. We don't talk a lot about the doctors when they're healing people. We only talk about the ones that die.
Right.
Oh wait, that's because it's their job.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes they're going to screw up. But the reality is that's what they're paid to do. They're paid not to get beaten because of shitty footwork.
The opposite side of the coin on that, though, is a defensive lineman. If he gets one sack a game for a year, this guy's going – he's backing up the Brinks truck, a 16-sack guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He's going to have a bust in Canton. So while DeMar is successful 99% of the time, and I don't mean he's carrying out his assignments perfectly. I'm just saying not sticking out like a sore thumb. A defensive lineman can – get one sack a game and be successful 1% of the time if you want to put it in those terms. and make a ton of money. So anyway,
because it's the one time that you get knocked on your rear end by a defensive lineman.
It's an apples to oranges comparison. It's a biased comment because you're an offensive line coach, and I appreciate it because I coached offensive line too. Mm-hmm. The reality is the defensive lineman that you just painted the picture of, who gets a sack a game for every game of the year and 16 sacks, mm-hmm. disrupted the game.
Oh sure,
with that play.
Of course. Right? I'm just talking
an offensive
about
lineman
the
can't
stand,
physically,
the two standout things. Yeah, the two standout things.
They can't physically disrupt the game. The greatest offensive lineman in history. Mm-hmm. The best he did was block.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't give up a sack, and he effectively run blocked.
Right.
He had to do it in concert with four other fat guys and random-ass skill position guys, right? So it's a tough comparison, but I think it's a good conversation. Now let's transition a little bit to the Oakland game with our predictive MVPs and give us some reasoning. Chris, you're looking at the game this week. I know you looked at the tape last week. Who do you think is going to stand out on the offensive side of the game for the Bucs this week, and what should we be looking out for specifically? I know that Corey talked a little bit about it, but I know that you have a tendency to dive into the film when you have a chance to drive all the way over here to Studio 76.
Can I just say, hey, when people say Pacifically, but anyway, go ahead.
I didn't say
Pacifically. I know you didn't, but when you said it, I was thinking about the people that do.
Okay. Yeah, that's like Paschetti. That's another dumb one.
He just tries to throw me off my thoughts every time before I go to speak.
Impossible. You're a statue.
No, he's like a robot over there.
It is an easy...
I will not be swayed.
Stop. I would love to go.
Remember when Fred and Barney got hypnotized that one time?
Here he goes again. I would love to go with an offensive lineman. Did he cut his mic off?
I did.
The easy answer is always... He's just still off. The mic's still off. The easy answer is always Mike Evans, and I think it's simple to say, and I know it's an easy pick. I think Mark. I called you Mike. I think Mark picks him.
Call me Mike Evans
every week, right? You pick him every week.
I'm picking him this week. Well, I picked Cameron Brate last week, and I should have picked Mike Evans.
Your son something crossed.
Someone picked Jameis Winston last week.
Only played two snaps this last game. Your son.
It's all right. He's doing well. Followed me on Instagram yesterday.
Listed at running back, by the way.
He brought that up. He goes, "Hey, Dad, I followed you on Instagram." Nice. Russell Shepard got a big kick out of you. He goes, "Man, I was going to say you look like him."
I have to go with Evans, and I think there's good matchups that they can take advantage of from these corners. Sean Smith, David Amerson, I think at times, like you talked about, Mark, a little bit too aggressive. I think they can open up some big plays for Mike Evans. Mike Evans is an absolute beast this year. Very impressive. I was a guy, I didn't like the fact that they drafted him, right? He had a down year last year as far as touchdowns, right? And he's due, what, 1-2 a game, it seems like.
Yeah, he's on pace for 15.
Yeah, I think he's going to have another big game this week. He has to. If, like I said, I predicted a high-scoring affair this week. So I'm going Mike Evans. I know it's cheap. I know it's the easy way to do it. But...
I'm going to follow up with that exactly, and I'm going to say this. Talking to Mike this week and the coaching staff and Jameis, and I've said it 1,000 times before, this guy still has a ceiling, man. He is far from reaching where he can be.
If he ever learns how to run after the catch, he's going to be ridiculous.
You keep harping on that.
I know, I have to.
1 year of high school football, 2 years of college football, now his third year in the league. This guy is literally
he's
a football
beast.
Newbie. And he doesn't even – he's becoming more athletic. I know that people think, well, I mean, he's a 6'5 guy and he runs, he can jump. He said, I'm not the most athletic guy in the world. He's working on those things. He still has a higher ceiling to go. But his confidence right now, he is getting, and this is so, to me, crucial for skill position players in football. When they get to that point where they think, and they're not being cocky, they're thinking, I can't be stopped. And that's when they tend to take off even more. And he is at that point. Dirk is at that point with him. And Jameis Winston is at that point with him where they think, we can throw this guy the ball and he's going to come down with it. And that's something that Jameis did not have as much confidence in last year as you saw with him only with 3 touchdowns. Part of that was lost chemistry during camp because remember he hurt his hamstring early and even missed the first game. But this guy, these two, boy, if you're a Buccaneer fan, you've got to be happy to think about these two guys. And Dirk said it this week. He says, I'm not comparing them to the same thing. Actually, he was talking about Oakland with Amari Cooper and Crabtree and Carr. But to me, I'm thinking the same thing. The Julio, the Matt thing.
And they grow together.
Guys that can
grow together.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna go with him because of the fact that, you know, we know that they're going to throw the ball. They're still unsettled at that other position. I don't care what Russell Shepard did. Nobody's handed him the starting job. He's not going to be on the field 70 plays. They're going to rotate there. And Cecil's going to get more looks, and Shepard's going to be in there, and some other guys too. But I'm gonna go with Mike too. I think he's gonna blow up again and have at least 100 yards in this game.
Well, it's funny you said that about Mike and Jameis because guess what? In a couple of years, they got to pay both these guys, right? Mm-hmm. So
plenty
maybe,
of money.
Maybe that's why you don't go out in the offseason and give $10 million to a guy like Alshon.
And that's
Jeffries,
that you
okay?
just nailed what we learned. Remember, I told you we learned something
I hate
to kill the
logic,
story to a degree, but and they could figure out a way to do it.
Sure.
But do you want from a from a, I don't know the right word, from a mental, not mental, but Mike should be the guy that gets paid. Mike should be the high-priced receiver on this football team, not a guy that you bring in, you know, six games into the season who's on a franchise tag deal, and all of a sudden he's going to get paid. Again, you talk about that chemistry a little bit. I don't think Mike's the kind of guy that's going to pout because they bring in this guy who's going to make a lot of money, because Mike is really a very humble guy, very unselfish guy. But subconsciously, it could make a difference. And you're right, this team is going to have some guys that are going to have to get paid in the near future. Got a lot of free agents, a lot of guys on one-year deals this year. But we talked about the defensive line with Golson, with Spence. Those guys are going to get paid somewhere by somebody.
Yeah,
Buccaneers would prefer to be them.
You drafted Marpet and Donovan Smith the same draft. Guess what? You got to pay those guys too,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
Well,
a great point about free agency and a great transition.
They've got to get Allen Cross paid. Because now that I've realized he's a football player, I've come back into his life.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those dads.
No,
I need some money.
Go ahead, Chris. You're pointing at me.
You said earlier, right? Contract years. Guess what? Players step up. Guess who's in a contract year next year? Mike Evans.
I'd like to see what stepping up looks like to this guy, because
he can do it though.
I pick on the yards after catching. I do, but I also give him credit where credit's due, which is almost everywhere. This is a guy, and you said something that I think people are going to gloss over, and I don't want them to. Mm-hmm. And I know I make movie references all the time, but in White Man Can't Jump, when Woody Harrelson is in the zone, right? This is a concept anyone who's ever played the game or coached the game or been even close to the game, you know when there's a hot hand. You know when there's a guy or a girl in female sports who doesn't feel that the opponent can stop them. And if Mike's not there, he is he is a colloquialism that I will not even say on my show close to it, right?
Yeah, and Jameis, we've talked about him being a streaky player in college, and even here, he gets into groove sometimes. In that Atlanta game, there was a point, I guess, at third quarter, end of the second, into the third quarter, where I don't think he believed any throw he made was going to be anything but a 20-yard completion. I mean, he was just in a zone. And we saw him come out in that Denver game right out of the gate. He was not anywhere near that zone, really never got into a groove in that game. But you're right as far as Mike goes. If he's not, he's very close. He's building towards that. You know what was one of the most impressive things in that game? That guy took a hell of a shot.
Oh, absolutely.
In the stomach. And when he crumpled down, this was a 14-0 game at
yep,
this point.
Absolutely.
And this could have doomed the season. And they've lost plenty of good guys, but you lose Quan, you lose Jameis, you lose Mike Evans, and now you're saying, we're picking in the top 10 again.
It's a very good point. I remember the injury happened. It was when Twitter was falling apart. The world was melting. There were lines at the Skyway, as Bucks Princess always says, how many people can line up on the Skyway Bridge. They were forming. There was definitely traffic. Yeah. And Mike gutted it out, which is great. Now, I am going to go against the passing game, which I'd love to see Jameis throw it all over the field. Last week, I went with Jameis, and that was fortunate. I mean,
are you going Brandon Myers? I got a feeling he's going Brandon
Myers,
Chris.
You're feeling a Brandon Myers
pick? I'm feeling a Brandon Myers here.
I don't know.
Against his former team.
No, it's not a Brandon Myers pick. I am going to go with Jacquizz Rodgers, and I'm not going to say he's going to have a Doug Martin-like performance against the Raiders. I'm just saying he might. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a guy who he's not had an opportunity to shine. He's got it now. And another guy that seems to think right now, because of what he has experienced thus far, when he touches the ball, every time he touches the ball, he's going to get a chance to see the second level. He's also like every running back who ever plays – thinks when he gets to the second level, the next stop is the goalpost.
Right.
I'm going to hit my head on the goalpost, and I'm going to go give the ball to the referee and go get some Gatorade. I think it's a big day for Jacquizz Rodgers. I love the way they're spelling him with the various backs they've got.
I think Antone's going to get more carries in this game, too. You know, that guy has averaged 9.9 yards in his NFL career. He hasn't had that many carries, but it's 9.9 yards. And you saw that explosive play on that little screen
pass.
It
was said in the chat room earlier, and I don't think we focused enough on it. Coach Cutter and Coach Smith have both shown the ability not only to call a good game, but to adapt and adjust, which is something we used to go nuts about for the previous three regimes. Even as a Lovey defender, as I have been, right? Not just painted as, but am. He did not adjust. This coaching staff adjusts. They look at what's going on. And listen, all the people that say, well, what kind of adjustments can you make in 7.5 minutes in the locker room? A lot of damn adjustments can be made in 7.5 minutes.
You know, more importantly, Derek, than adjustments is sometimes sticking with what you know is going to work. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing with Dirk, because immediately when you're down 14-0, you start thinking, we got to start throwing the ball over the field. Dirk said it. On that first drive, we were running the ball for 6-7 yards a carry. Now they bogged down with that, and I still wonder what the hell Peyton Barber's doing. But I think Dirk's point was, it doesn't matter. Fourth and one, we should be able to put, you know, me back there and get a yard with our offensive line. So
Holly tripped on the play. That's
what happened. See, I didn't see that. But the bottom line is sometimes, you know, the best adjustment is not panicking. But I agree. They and another thing they're able to do is manufacture okay play with guys that you probably shouldn't get okay play from. And I think they might have been a little stubborn on the Charles Sims thing, but that's fine. They've eventually, you know, decided they had to do it. And people say, well, no, he got injured, and they put him on injured reserve. That was coming. I can assure you, regardless of Sims going in the IR,
yeah,
I know
change
for
was
a fact
happening.
It was happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's switch to the defensive side, and then we'll go back and touch on free agency, because I think it was a great brush through with the contract concept, the Alshon Jeffries rumors. We're going to give you a chance, Mark, if you have anything you can share to share that. But let's switch to the defensive side. I will reverse the order and go to Mark Cook. Who do you see showing up on the defensive side and your predictive MVP side?
Well, I think it's going to be Gerald McCoy. I know I'm just picking just the easy, you know, targets, but you know, I think Gerald is going to really impact this game because of a guy like Derek Carr who does get rid of the ball pretty quick. I mean, sometimes he'll stand back there and let those longer routes develop. I think it's going to be crucial for him to be able to collapse the middle. They're not going to get around the edges, I don't think, with the tackles. But I think if there is a place they're going to be able to get through, I think with Gerald, you know, not getting sacks per se, but disrupting Carr just a little bit and mm-hmm. throwing off the timing a little bit. And again, I've always loved a good pass rushing three technique guy because there is not a shorter distance to the quarterback than that guy right there. And you don't overrun things very often. You don't have to redirect yourself. It's point A to point B. And Gerald, if Gerald doesn't get there, he's certainly going to affect things. And if he does get close, that's also they're going to have to change things up front a little bit. And I don't think that they've, you know, I don't think that they've really faced, you know, a guy like Gerald yet. And I think Gerald can really affect this football game, not necessarily on the stat sheet, but as far as what happens on the field.
Absolutely, Chris, your thought going in here?
Yeah, I'm not going D-line. I don't even know about the linebacker, although I think Kwan could have a big game. I think one of the Oakland receivers is going to have a big game, so sure. I think the other corner who stops, either if it's Cooper or if it's Crabtree, I like Hargraves in this game for some reason, and not that it's going to generate a turnover. I just think he's going to shut down the guy that he's on, and I don't think we're going to see, again, there might be a little bit of regression this week from this defense. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting them to come out and improve from the last two performances, but I think they may do enough, and I think, you know, even if it's not an INT that's registered, shutting down that receiver,
right,
I think is going to fall on Hargraves this week.
Well, and this team has shown, if you shut down one of them, I mean, listen, Greg Olsen was wide open that hole. He's still wide open catching passes right now on that Monday night game. But they shut down Funchess and they shut down Benjamin. Again, you can't shut down everybody all the time. Julio has had big games against the Buccaneers that the Buccaneers have won.
So did Randy
Roddy
Moss.
White, you know, Randy Moss. I mean, so it takes more than one guy. And Mike Evans has had monster games
absolutely.
And losses too. So that's a good point that you bring up there. If they can keep both of these guys or one of these guys really under his average, then that's going to go a long way in this defense winning.
You know, it's an interesting point that was made in the chat room by Thomas, one of our new writers. By the way, I want to shout out all of our new writers. We're going to do an article on them probably this week because you guys have been putting out some really good content. I want to make sure you guys get the credit you deserve. You know, Evan and Rick and all you guys. I don't mean to short anyone. John and Patrick, the whole team has been doing a great job. But his comment was, if Ayers plays this week specifically, McCoy should have a monster game. Because this is one of the things we haven't gotten a chance to see is this D-line that was being built really mm-hmm. perform. And we won't. With Smith out, right? We're not going to see that thing that was drawn up on the whiteboard.
Right.
We're going to see some amalgam of it, right? We're going to see what it could have been. But your point is a great one. The shortest distance to the quarterback is the three technique. If they're able to get pressure, upfield pressure, with Noah Spence and whoever they throw at left defensive end, whether it's a legit left defensive end or if they go to that 3-3-5 where they have Darryl Smith down there, who did a great job with his hand in the dirt, funnel Derek Carr, who likes to extend the play a little bit by hopping around in the pocket, into Akeem, Clinton McDonald,
Golson. And right? You know what I really like? I'm sorry. I really like what Mike did with Golson last week by moving him in and out on the, because that's not easy for an offensive line to do. I mean, they've done that some this year, but I thought more so in this past game. You know, again, you know, you go 70 plays in offensive lineman and you've studied, you know, Noah Spence, or you've studied Gerald McCoy, you've studied, you know, Akeem Spence, and all of a sudden number 92 shifts over there. It's a whole different beast that you're going up against. It's like that first few plays where you're getting your feet wet again. He's so versatile to be able to play all four all four defensive line spots if called upon. I like him better on the left side, but I like him moving inside from time to time, too. That's something that I'm not bringing up a Florida State reference, but no. But they were able to do, I'm going to bring it up anyway, what they've done with DeMarcus Walker some this year. It's just throwing things off a little bit. You know what I mean? Just changing
the timing,
things up.
Just that much. Exactly. Don't let him get to that last progression.
Right.
Make him throw the ball a half a second earlier than he wants to, mm-hmm. right? That's, and we've talked about it for years. It's not always about the sacks, and all the kidding aside with the Chidi Ahanotu pressure joke from Warren Sapp. Sometimes the pressures are what matters because you get the guys underneath, the Quan Alexanders, Levante Davids of the world, who can give you enough underneath coverage that that ball is going to sail right. a little bit and let a VH3 right. or a Brent Grimes or, God forbid, a safety come in. Brandon
yeah.
McDougal stepping up with the pick.
Right.
Right. That's what you have to
Should've
hope
had
for.
One.
It's very, very good to see. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, it's funny because I don't disagree with you, Mark. The Gerald McCoy pick is a good one. I really, really want it to be a linebacker, but I don't know that it's going to be. I'd love to see a Levante David blow up game, but the way they're moving him around, I don't know that we're going to see a lot of that. And not because he's not playing well. I think
right.
it's just because of the way he's being leveraged as a chess piece, and that's fine as long as the entire team operates well. Don't care about the individual stats.
And just right. to do some self-promotion, a good story from one of our new writers, Jacob Hogue, had a good story late this afternoon on this is a Cooper and Hargraves 2.0. You know, and Cooper clearly won the first one in the SEC championship game.
Corey mentioned
and,
that, yeah.
And Vernon said today in open locker room, he goes, it was the first time in his life that he realized there's somebody better than him. He said this guy was clearly better than him in that game. And you know, he's now playing confidence, feels that he can match Cooper and some of these better receivers. And part of that reason is because he's already done it. He did it last week with Torrey Smith. He's done it the week before with Benjamin and when he moved over and was on Funchess at times. So, you know, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now.
On my pick, which
well,
I will,
go ahead. No, you want to say something about that? No, you want to defend your Gator?
No.
I mean, Cooper had 204 yards. 79 of it was on one play that he wasn't even covering.
Listen, just like I don't care about Bucko Pat wanting to know your pick in the Clemson game, I don't give a shit about the Florida Gators.
Florida State by 3.
Don't care to you or to him.
No, we're talking about players
I
and
know,
matchups that happened
that
are going
to
happen again, but that are going to happen again. That happened a year ago, or you know, I mean, it wasn't like it was 10 years ago. Couple years
how
ago.
How many years ago was it?
It was actually in Alabama. It was 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
Driscoll was
right,
quarterback
right.
for the Gators when it happened.
So 2 years ago.
But again, Hargraves was so good at times that he was prone to having those in the Michigan game, the last game he played in college football, right?
He
when
was
the, before the buck.
That.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I would
so
too,
he was prone to
he knew he was going to get paid.
One or two bad games
yeah.
like that, but I'm not worried about this matchup.
Right.
I would love to pick someone else just to make it a twist here, but I can't. I think it's going to be McCoy if he's healthy. But I want to ask you a question. McCoy was listed again on the injury report with his calf. If he's not 100%, they're close to the vest with this shit, so I don't know whether you're going to have any other info for us.
I don't think there's anything to that. It may just be I don't know that he's had any setback or anything. I saw him before practice. He was in open locker room. He talked today. Obviously, he seemed fine. He was joking around with everybody. I don't see any major news on that. In fact, when you mentioned that earlier, I just checked a few things to see if anybody had any information on that, and nothing's changed. But you know, I think he'll be fine. I think he's going to play. They need him to play in this football game. It's so important for them to have McCoy on the field in this game.
Well, hopefully he ices up and he's there. I'm going to go with Brent Grimes, so I am going to twist it. Brent Grimes, I think I know that people were on his jock early, but I think Brent Grimes
Miko.
Is quietly. Sure, she's. Supposed to be. I think he's quietly continued to assault people in the game. Now, they need to give him some cleats that allow him to cut and not fall down.
Yeah.
But outside of that, short.
Why does that happen every time the Bucks go on the road?
You know what's funny? I actually did some research on this, and there seems to be an issue not just with the Bucks. We don't watch the other teams as closely,
right?
So we're not going to see it. A lot of players have gone away from the deeper cleats because of their knees. They don't want to get their feet caught in the ground.
Yep.
And that makes a fair amount of sense. So I can't really bitch too much because
sure.
that makes a lot of sense. But I do think that Brent Grimes is going to be the guy this week. I think that there's going to be a turnover battle, and that's where we're going to have to see it coming out of the secondary. All right, let us talk briefly about free agency, then we'll get to predictions. And so from a free agency perspective, you guys did a great job as a primer, I think, talking about, and Chris, you started off with your comment about the dollars that will be coming up around here. With the Alshon Jeffries rumors, the discussions of Smith, the idea of going after a veteran wide receiver. Mark, you followed up with, you don't want to upset Mike's psyche. Not that he's a fragile
right.
Guy, because he doesn't actually seem to be particularly fragile. He seems like he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. What are your thoughts about the Bucs going to try and add depth to the receiving group before the trade deadline? There was a Jason Lockenfora tweet today or something about the Bucs trying to package a couple of cornerbacks that don't ever play in a draft pick.
Yeah, that was yesterday, and that's the story I was talking about that we put up yesterday evening. And I don't think, you know, I mean, they're going to work guys out. They would love to. I know for a fact they want to add. They know they need speed. All right. They know they need some speed guys. But I don't know that either one of those guys make great sense for the Buccaneers. It sounds good. They're big name guys. If this team were literally one receiver away from being a legitimate Super Bowl contender, maybe you'd pull a trigger on something like that. But I don't know that that's the case, to be honest with you. And again, they could renegotiate it. I mean, he was playing on his franchise tag, so they would have to come up with a new deal. No way you're going to just rent the guy give up a draft pick to rent the guy for the last 10 games of the season. So I think that they would want to sign him long-term if they did that. But from what we've been told, that's not in the plans, either one of those guys right now.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. You asked about free agency. Let's go to our picks for this week, and then we'll see if you guys have any other questions. If you've got questions for these guys, how about you tweet the questions to What the Buck? I'll get on Twitter, because the chat room in Mixlr, while Mixlr works really well for a lot of things, and apparently the levels have been pretty doggone good this week, I had them a little bit lower during the call, but it looks like it's gotten better, so hopefully that's behind us. If you tweet at What the Buck your questions, we will follow up those questions specifically, so hop on Twitter and get those out there. Let's go to predictions. I want to move over to Chris, though. Chris has got his mobile device, his mobile out, as Callum would say.
By the way, when you tweet, hashtag GBA.
There you go. Yeah. Tweet at What the Buck, hashtag GBA. Well done. Big shout out to Callum, one of our patrons, and get out to the patron link as well, and we'll give you guys a pimps.
And thanks, Callum, for wishing me a happy birthday yesterday. That was very nice.
Chris, what do you think this game is going to come down to, and what do you predict as a score, sir?
I was driving here thinking about this, and I was going with the Raiders, but I've talked myself out of it. And I am going... Shit.
Thank you, Rick. I'll get that too. Sorry.
I am going 31-27 Bucks. 31-27.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, four touchdowns and all extra points and a field goal.
Well, Janikowski's going to hit a couple, so what would that be?
No, you had 31. So, no, I'm talking about 31, so you're
one,
right.
One 38-yard Aguayo field goal.
Yeah.
Before we go to that, I want to get a question that was asked earlier by Rick Hughes. I apologize. And Rick, another one of our authors, what has happened to Adam Humphries? We're both huge Hump fans. What's happened to Adam Humphries? Humphries, you're a huge Hump fan, too.
Well, what do you mean, what's happened to him?
He seems to have fallen off a bit.
The guy is – Adam Humphries is who we thought he was. He had 287 yards last year receiving. He's not a 1,000-yard receiver. He's just not.
Rest in peace, Denny Green.
You know, he's doing exactly what this team wants him to do. Okay. I don't think he's fallen off at all. I mean, he had a game earlier this year where he had more catches than he's had. But, look, Dirk is smart enough to know when the defense is calling out that tunnel screen before they snap the ball, you can't run that thing 4 to 5 times.
You do realize we can run him on routes other than the tunnel screen.
I agree, but he's also got to get open.
Right, on drags, which even fat tight ends can get open on.
Again, I'm going to go with Dirk on this. I'm going to take Dirk's knowledge and situation on this. He's a great third, you know, option, but he's not a folk. He's not a guy that's going to be Julian Edelman, as much as people want to compare him because he's a short white guy.
Sure.
And I love Adam
Welker. Sure.
I talked to him today, you know, about Florida State Clemson, but you know, other things too. I worried about the guy. I don't remember what game it was that he took shot after shot after shot. I told him,
yeah,
I said,
taking a lot of
you're going to die. You're going to be like the next player, the first player to die on a football field, man. Take some, get the hell out of bounds, because he's taking a lot of shots along the sidelines too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but I worry about the guy. But no, I mean, he's, you know, if he ends up with 550 yards this year, you know, 38, 45 receptions, something like that, a couple touchdowns, that's a great year from Adam Humphries.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to catch 7-8 balls a game, you know, go in double digits of catches per game. I think he'll convert a couple third downs, use him on those bubble screens. They didn't use him on the end around this week. Yeah,
Yes, he did.
Was it Shep?
No,
it was Shep.
No, it was Humphries.
Was it Hump?
Well, maybe not.
But
I thought it could have been.
One of the reasons that Derek mentioned earlier, Shep doesn't play exclusively at wide receiver because he contributes on special teams. Well, because Ryan Smith wants to run out, now Humphries has to be the kick returner as well. So I think you're splitting special teams with the wide receiver duties as well. So
Dirk didn't beat him up as much on that because the two things. Number one, he was hesitant at first, his very first one. And Dirk said, you know, you got to make a decision. It was right there at that borderline, and you got to hit it or go, or you got to take a knee. The second one was on that mortar kick when they were defending against a potential onside kick at that point. So that wasn't his best return as well. I've got a little feature coming out, my little fifth down thing I do, the kind of the off the field thing. Last week it was Leonard Wester. The week before it was Peyton Barber. I've done Alan Cross and Danny Vitale. I've actually got Ryan Smith talk to him today, so that's coming out tomorrow. Good dude. Listen, Peyton Barber did it with me and ended up with a 43-yard touchdown. I brought that up to Ryan. I said, therefore, you're going to get a kickoff return for a touchdown this week. He says, all right, I'm in. If you got Barber a touchdown and you can get me a touchdown, I'm in. So
just don't invite him to a preseason get-together from Peter Report.
No. No, no one's ever coming to that again, player-wise.
No players. No players.
Actually, Akeem Spence, Will Golston was there. Courtney Brown, unfortunately, no longer with us.
All right, so Adam Humphries is who you think he is. I think that he could be used more, but that's fine. I don't disagree with you. Dirk's done a great job for me to pick, you know, to split hairs over that.
And go back to my Cecil Shorts thing that I asked today. On the field, 31 plays, no targets, no catches. Dirk makes a good point. A lot of luck involved. The quarterback has to do his job as well. We know Jameis is focusing on Mike Evans, and he's smart to do that. You can't overdo it, but I mean, that's his main guy. That's who he feels comfortable with, and he loves Humph, but Humph's a smaller target. Jameis tends to sail the ball a little bit, you know, at times. Makes me a little nervous when they throw to him, you know what I mean, over the middle, because that looks like a safety interception waiting to happen. But I think, you know, Humph's a great guy, and he's – I hate to use the word overachiever, but let's not forget, this guy was a tryout, unrestricted free agent, undrafted free agent. Not a premier guy where they're like immediately right after the draft going, hey, man, we want you here, and he had 10 teams. It was, hey, come over this weekend. We'll let you run around a little bit. We'll see. And then if we like you, we might sign you as an undrafted free agent.
He's number three receiver, right?
Right now.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean,
I don't care where he came from.
That's not saying.
It's interesting history, but, you know, history is just that. You are what you do now. He has shown the ability to, when thrown the ball, catch it on a reliable basis. Right.
Except his drop last week.
Okay, so we're going to count drops, the one drop.
No,
right?
I agree. No, I agree. It's the only drop I've ever seen this guy make.
This guy's got really, really good hands.
Including in two training camps.
So I just do think that in an offense that is short on receiver talent, though I agree with Chris earlier, Shep has just balled out, and you hope he can continue to improve on that, because Shep isn't a guy, like, you can't give Humphries the same credit on special teams coverage because he's a return guy.
Sure.
Right, Shep's running down as a gunner.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys get beat to crap. The fact that he can do that, right?
James brought that
and
up.
And still,
I mean,
come
guy,
back he, and run
James said he's our
get
best.
Open.
He's the
it's
best overall
stupid.
Player on our team. Best. I mean, wears so many hats. Not only what he does on the field, this is the guy that gets his team amped up before the games.
It's crazy.
You know,
it's crazy what the guy's doing.
Everybody,
it really is.
Everybody loves Shep. Everybody.
All right, Mark, your prediction this week.
I'm going to go a little bit more low scoring. I'm going to go 27 to 21.
Wow, we had that in the chat room. Bucko Pat, you Florida State guys, stick together.
But I haven't said who I think is going to win yet.
A lot of Seminoles in this game.
I'm afraid the Raiders might take this. And I'll be happy to be wrong. No problem with that. I was wrong in the Panthers game. I was right last week.
Are you picking the Raiders?
Yeah, I'm picking the Raiders, 27-21. Aguayo with two misses.
Two misses for Aguayo.
Ouch.
All right. I'm going to go once again over 30 points. It's going to be a 34-27 victory for the Bucks.
Once again, 36 straight years of picking the Buccaneers to win. I like that.
I never pretend that I'm not going to, good. Right? I will point out that 28-13 was a pick last week to your 22-11. We were both pretty doggone close on the spread, though.
11?
Yeah, you had 11. Or 17, 11. I'm sorry, 22-17. You had a close game. It looked like 11. My handwriting sucks.
Yeah.
So I can barely read my own handwriting. So your spread was shitty.
Because nobody writes anymore.
That's true. All right, let's go to Twitter real quick. And, Chris, you sound like you had something that was chiming there.
I'm interested in how much, because I know your son's a kicker, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in how much coaching that you, because I've never kicked a ball in my life, right? Soccer, but that doesn't count.
Actually, it's very similar.
I watched a lot of the motion in Aguayo's kicks from this past week and then comparing to what he was doing in Atlanta when he was actually making kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and started looking at other kickers in the league. I looked at Vinatieri, I looked at Janikowski, I even looked at the Jacksonville kicker because I was on that game film. There's something off when he makes contact with the ball and he's doing this hitch hop twice.
Mm-hmm.
He's not following through. And it's odd because I went and looked at all these other kickers, and
right.
They're not doing it. They're fluid through the motion when they make contact, and if they have a little hop step or whatever it is, it's not consistent. Something's really off with what he's doing.
And with kickers, again, every other position, every other guy on this team except for the punter, right, has got a position coach that can work out specific details. Kickers and punters just don't have that. They've got to figure it out on their own, essentially. Talking to the other kickers sometimes helps them. But that I believe that when you start changing what you've done, you know, it's your confidence. His confidence is so out, you know, all over the place right now. And again, I've brought up the golf reference several times. You know, we've all been in a tournament or whatever, playing golf with our buddies, and we get in a groove where we're hitting the ball really well, and then we'll tee off a couple times and we're spraying the ball over, and then you get to the tee the next time and you're like, I have no idea where this is going to go. Sometimes it goes right down the middle, sometimes it goes left, sometimes you know when you're lining up the ball, right? When you're standing over the ball, and even, you know, as you're approaching to get ready for your backswing, you just feel like this doesn't feel right. I'm afraid, and again, this is speculation on my part, I'm afraid that that's where Aguayo is right now, and I'm afraid it's something that's going to take an offseason for him to get figured out.
I agree.
And I've noticed, and I haven't broke down the film as much as you on this, I did notice last game on that 50-yarder, I don't know, it seems like at Florida State, and I have to go back and look, that he was more at an angle as far as when he took two back, two over. It looks like he's going two back, maybe one and a half over now. It looks like he's more over the ball as opposed to coming, you know, more at an angle. But again, the hop, skip, jump thing, I've watched a million YouTube videos. That is a bad trait in most of these videos when you watch these little clinical things. You know what I mean? That little hop, skip, jump thing that you're talking about, that's, you know, that's a mechanical thing. Mm-hmm. But as Derek's pointed out, a guy like Jim Furyk has got the ugliest golf swing in the world, but it tends to work, you know, and it's whatever works for you. And that's the bad thing about kickers, is there's not anybody that can just sit back and say, this is, and my son went to the FSU kicking camp this year in Tallahassee. Ricky, Roberto's brother, was his coach for his age group, pointed out some simple things. Sometimes you can point out simple things. With Douglas, well, not bringing his back, not bringing the hammer back far enough, and therefore not getting the distance that he needed. His follow-through was fine. His setup was fine. His left foot placement was fine. But bringing the hammer back. And, you know, hopefully Roberto can figure it out. But I just think it's something he's going to figure out on his own. And history tells us that it happens. High draft pick guys, there hasn't been that many of them. Janikowski wasn't good. Mike Nugent wasn't good right out of the gate. We'll say the organization is nervous. You know, I mean, it looks bad right now, but there's still plenty of time for it to work out.
Sack up, organization. You made the pick. Stick with it.
Right.
The short amount of data we have, and admittedly, you can't predict the future with it, but tells us this is going to happen. We talked about it 4 weeks ago. The fact that we see guys kicking long extra points now means we see more misses mm-hmm. than we've ever seen in the past. So our minds, I think, are cluttered.
He's yet to miss a 27-yarder to win it on Sunday Night Football, like we saw with that 6-6 tie.
Do you know who the 30th most accurate kicker in collegiate history is? I don't factor in extra points, by the way.
Pat Murray?
No. Oh. It's Mike Nugent.
Mike, nice.
Do you know how many top 30 collegiate NFL kickers are still kicking in the league? Two. Mike Nugent and Roberto Aguayo.
Wow.
That's it.
Well, look at
interesting
that.
Fact. That's what I bring.
Well, there you have it.
Look, I really...
You brought hop, skip, jump.
I've started a petition to bring Kyle Brinza back. I think he's got it sorted out. I think he'll be fine. The 58% Notre Dame kicker.
Listen, you and I agree. You brought the Furyk thing. In my opinion, I've never coached kickers. I don't ever plan to. To me, kicking is one of those things where it is all about swag. You get a good kicker, I don't care if it hop, skip, jump, if he's two steps over, three steps back. If Sebastian Janikowski feels
two
like he's on.
That was a Paul Abdul song.
Nice. He's going to kick it through the uprights, right? That's just the way it's going to work. And golf is a great reference. When I've seen great golfers, they don't need a special club. They don't. I watched our driving pro at the tournament we had last year drive with a putter,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he just knows how to do the damn thing, right. And he's going to hit it with a stick further than you are.
But as great as Tiger Woods was, there was multiple times off the tee where he sprayed the ball in the crowd. What was great about him is in golf, you have a chance to recover.
Right.
You can make a bad first drive, but you have an opportunity to put it on the green out of the rough. Kicking, it's either make or miss. And you know what? Jason Light and Scott made this point. Jason Light's pick is a kicker pick because it's either going to be a good one or a bad one. There's no really in between on this.
Well, hopefully they give more time than give coaches. So
I don't know. Hey-o. Can you go 2 years with a bad kicker?
Hey-o.
I can't. I wouldn't.
Well, we're not going to burn his house down, Thomas, so rest assured that's not what it's going to be. I want to thank you guys for joining the longest What the Buck podcast we've had in 2 years. I want to thank these guys for putting up with being dragged out to Studio 76.
I never got to tell the Jameis Mike Glennon story. We'll do that next week. It's really not that big of a deal. It's not that interesting.
We'll tease them for the next show.
It's a good idea.
I want to remind you guys, Chris, tell them about your BYOCB show.
At BYOCB show on Twitter. I want to talk one last thing.
Do your thing.
Over/under on personal foul penalties this week, because you got Joe Hawley on one side and you've got Donald Penn on the other
side.
In
the stands? Or
no, I'm talking about on the field. Oh man, I went watching that Jacksonville Raiders game. Oh my God, it got ugly. And I loved. If you have time, fans, and you can watch, if you have access to the coaches' film, go back and just focus on Joe Hawley. So just watch the offense and watch what he does after the play to bait the opposing team
into
15-yard penalties. Yeah. It's a thing of beauty. I loved it. This week, I think it's going to be nasty.
For years, we have dreamt of having a John Runyon-type guy who played for us, because if he plays for the other team, we hate him.
Right.
Sure.
We got him in Joe Hawley, and we were joking when he went out again with an ankle. I think I tweeted that he asked the trainer to put a nail through it to put him back in, because I don't know that you can keep him off the field.
I've seen went down three times this year, and you think every time this is a serious injury, and three plays later
he comes
back
in. He just comes. And to Evan Smith's credit, when Evan Smith's come in for him, he's done a good job.
I agree.
An admirable job.
Completely agree. And like Dirk said, we've got depth at this position for first time in a long time.
Long time.
You know.
Long time. So I want to thank Chris from BYOCB, formerly of Bucks Brief fame. Yeah. Mark, always want to thank you. You've got a lot of articles coming out. What can people look forward to at a Pew Report this week?
Big Fab from Scott tomorrow. I think it's going to be very interesting. Gather some good information this week, and actually have some stuff from the last couple weeks. So I think it's going to be really good Fab, as it always is, very informative. You know, we'll have our preview up late tomorrow night into early Saturday morning, where we do our predictions. And something we've done differently this year, and I'll admit I totally stole this from some of the college sites, we used to just give a staff prediction, and, you know, that was it. You know,
the
score.
When you steal stuff.
No, I do. I totally admit it. But I totally stole it from Tomahawk Nation, as a matter of fact. But other part of the SB Nation sites do the same thing, where they have their staff talk about, you know, and it's complete and utter BS, and we've said this, even with our picks as we get into it, we don't know that Aguayo is going to miss two, this and that, but we kind of give a scenario of why we think it's going to happen, how it's going to, James is going to start fast, he's going to do this, they're going to score on a late touchdown, blah, blah, blah. Just makes it a little bit more fun, and we certainly encourage people to not only read ours, but also put theirs in as well.
Absolutely. We did have a question come into Twitter from Ren Dax. Give the O-line a letter grade for pass protection this year. I'll start with Mark.
I'm going to say a C right now, because they've been okay at times. They've been really good. There's been some the crucial breakdowns, not necessarily consistent breakdowns, but really some breakdowns at bad times. And again, I can't really fault them too much, because I think their overall play has been a C, although the last 2 weeks has been much better, last week being the best as far as run and pass blocking. I think it was a C, and I think Warhop would agree with that. Most of the players would too. They've been somewhat inconsistent. They certainly haven't duplicated some of the success they had last year, but as far as pass blocking goes, you know, B minus C.
Listen, I know it, you know it, we all know it, but does Chris know it? Chris, what do you think they're great to be? Another Trump reference again.
We got the greatest O-line.
It's the greatest O-line.
No one respects O-lines more than I do.
I love the O-line.
They built a wall around Jameis. Actually, Roberto. We're going to build the wall around Roberto. And Ricky,
it's
his
weird.
Brother. I'm John F. Kennedy.
I tweeted a couple things about film earlier today, and people were asking me a couple questions about the O-line. I was like, if I could grade the O-line performance, C+. They're getting better.
Yeah.
But it's those individual plays that stand out, mm-hmm. where, you know, someone gets knocked on their ass, or, you know, someone blows by
Holly
trips.
And
I mean, it's C+, incomplete.
I'll say this. Compared to years past, I love this makeup of this offensive line. I love the depth that they have. I love the coaching that they have. I love the nastiness, just the whole makeup of it. And they'll get better, I believe, as the year goes on.
I think that I will give them a B to differentiate myself from the honorable two gentlemen across the table from me. Also because I think, for the very reason we mentioned earlier, the fact that we tend to hold the ball a little bit more, Jameis holds the ball a little bit more, he looks through more progressions. I think if you put Tom Brady behind this line, or if you put a Derek Carr behind this line, even a Case Keenum, you're going to have what looks to be better pass protection. And I don't know that it is necessarily appreciably better pass protection. It's a different style of passing game. So I think that sometimes that tempers the way we respond. The other point that was tweeted at us. Mr. Hatch, Jay Hatch, said that, you know, he wants to defend the Twitter person you were in a battle with. He, too, has heard that Jameis is a bad mechanic.
It was actually a Facebook battle. But, yes. No, you're right. I asked Jameis to look at my engine the other day. He said my oil level was fine. I drove home and I threw a rod because
see,
it was
there you
low.
Go.
So
and
he's not
listen,
a very good mechanic.
Mark has been known to throw his rod.
But,
so.
Well.
Hey-o.
So he didn't small rod.
He didn't grab your dipstick.
As I figured out, as in people, Derek must be the most blessed human being in the world. No man should ever have a full-length mirror right in front of the toilet when you're taking a leak like he
scared.
Does in the bathroom. I am so petrified when I do that. I actually have started keeping the light off.
That's why there's piss all over the floor.
I haven't hit the toilet yet, but at least I haven't had to watch. And what do women see in guys? We are just gross.
We are terrible.
There's nothing attractive about body parts.
If I were going to believe in a supreme being, it would be that thing right there. That drive.
Right.
All right. With that, we will end this podcast. Again, I want to thank Mark Cook of PewterReport.com. You can follow him at MarkCook1970 personally or at PewterReport on Twitter. You can get to his website at PewterReport.com. He and Scott and the entire team over there do a great job. You guys know that. My man, Chris Fisher at BBP Chris. Yeah?
There you go. BBP Chris.
I got all the letters in there.
Beep, beep. You sound like Dick Clark the last couple of years he did the
stop
countdown.
It.
Sorry, too soon.
Easy, it's too soon. I'm
sorry.
Even Seacrest isn't going to make fun of him.
He should.
And you obviously can follow us here as well. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in, for putting up with us. We'd love to see you Sunday for the tailgate. We've got a huge crew from Atlanta coming down. We're going to have a terrific tailgate. The net proceeds from this tailgate are going to our friends at KBR, the folks who are kind enough to help us have the largest pirate ship in Tampa Bay at our tailgate. They're doing their Making Strides for Breast Cancer push, and all of the net proceeds are going to go to their push there. We love the things that they do. An amazing crew. If you're Gasparilla people, you definitely need to follow Crew of Blackbeard's Revenge. They're great people, and we love supporting what they're doing. We are collecting the same toiletries and diapers, et cetera, for the spring, so we can box all that stuff up together and bring it over to the spring after this month. And get ready, folks, because Movember is right around the corner. So if you want to join our Movember team, we'd love to have you on there. Prostate cancer is right around the corner. You'll be seeing some goofy mustaches.
I hope it's not right around the corner for me.
Our Mo sisters out there, please pretend that you find mustaches attractive, because God knows it is a brutal, brutal month.
Yeah, it is not your best look.
Listen, I don't have many good looks.
I was going to say, chicken salad, chicken poop, you can't make it out of it.
I don't need you to find me attractive, so I don't care about your
qualitative
assessment.
But the thing is, I do find you attractive, especially when we're in the pool after the show in our thongs.
It's a force you can't resist, so that's because it's gravity.
A lot to love.
I was waiting for the joke there, but you were too slow. But I'm used to that out of you, so welcome, or thank you guys for joining the show. We'll get this podcast up as soon as I can compress it small enough. Maybe Mark will help based on his mirror comment earlier to get onto the website. And we will see you guys for the next broadcast. We are out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Scoop. Well, like bugs running, man, I think that's all, folks. My man, Oaks, just shut down another show. Same day, same time for the past 11 years. Guess what? Next week, we gon' be right here. Talking about the Bucks and having a good time. We give it to you straight, don't need to be between the lines. The beat drop hard every time I hit the nine. And if you didn't know it, this is Sprinkle on the Rhymes. Yeah. 11 years strong, y'all. It's the What the Buck podcast. My man Derek, they call him Old School. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the